It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley. We're going to talk about the new version of Threshold. Just came out earlier this week. There's a lot of new features, including colored title bars. Who knew? The latest Windows 10 mobile update. And a look at all the different hardware that is going to come out roughly the same time as the Surfaces, the new Surfaces. Windows Weekly is up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 435, recorded Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Windows says, what? Windows Weekly is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/WW. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that's the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit wealthfront.com/windows to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's wealthfront.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Redmond. And after last week's episode, I don't know if it can get more exciting. But boy, if it could, here's the man for it.
I can guarantee you that we can't.
Paul Thurrott. Thurrott.com is his home on the internet where he writes all the time about the latest from Microsoft. Mary Jo Foley's also here, allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her home on the web. Between the
but
two
I have
of them.
A question. Why yes. is Mary Jo here? I thought Mary Jo was leaving us.
Weren't you leaving us, Mary Jo?
You mean permanently?
No. Hey, knock it off.
Something.
No, I'm not going to England till next month.
Oh, okay. Were you just right in now. England?
No, I was not just in England.
Okay.
Why do you love England so much, Mary Jo? And thus hate the United States?
You know, we are no longer part of the Royal...
Oh, my God.
The Commonwealth.
Mary Jo emailed me today and she said, you do know we're doing Windows Weekly today, right? Which probably explains why I thought she was in England.
Yeah. I didn't see you adding notes because of OneNote.
Yeah, what happened? Normally we use OneNote for a collaborative environment in which right. Mary Jo and Paul will put what they're going to talk about. And then I get it and I can see it. And I lead the conversation from that document. But
Leo, what's the opposite of collaborative? Insular.
Unabomber.
Solo. Yeah, Unabomber. Yeah. Montana. Wood shack. That's what it was today.
It's the opposite of collaborative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, that's weird. And do we know why? Is it down for everyone or just us?
I don't know.
I think everybody, right?
Really? So
I mean, people, not everybody. I have people telling me it's working, but many of us.
Okay. Oh. So the OneNote server is down or something.
The one, yeah, this the yeah. guy, the server that's in under Bob's desk Bob. Is not yeah. fully functioning. Yeah.
Bob's not been the same ever since they booted him out of Windows, I got to tell you. I'm excited. I'm waiting. I was mentioning before the show, I've dusted off my PowerShell books. actually, I probably should get new ones because I think PowerShell's changed a lot, isn't it, since like XP or whatever. I don't know how old this
it has
is.
Evolved, yes.
Yeah.
It has.
I'll probably get a new PowerShell book. Yeah. But I got the Surface book on order. I'm glad I did too, because apparently they're sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah, many of the configurations are.
Which, by the way, not to get off on a complaint first thing, but what the heck, my name's Paul Thurrott. I do find it kind of interesting that Microsoft doesn't just space out the orders so that you just have a later delivery date, you know?
They do this every time,
but they sell out of something that they're going to get more of.
Yeah.
I just think that kind of, I think a customer that's, you know, going to plop down $1,500, $2,000 or whatever would rather see a date that was in November or whatever than, sorry, they're sold out.
Completely agree.
Don't you think they're a little gun shy after what happened with Surface RT? That's kind of my thinking that they don't make.
Absolutely. But I mean, take the order, put it on back order and keep that customer up to date. You know, forcing them to manually come back to the site every day and pray that maybe it will be available now is not the right way to do it.
No, it's not. Agree.
You know, that's too bad because there are very clearly people are very excited about this. Remember, we were told at the well, I don't know if you were there when this happened, but we were told at the meetup we had last week that already, halfway through the day, the pre-order rate for Surface Book was higher than they had ever experienced for any Surface. Mm-hmm. And so clearly people are very excited about it.
Yeah.
So what they say is email me, which is not, you know, Apple always says it'll be 3 or 4 weeks, which is fine.
It's absolutely. And then, by the way, it gives you the opportunity to please them by coming in faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? True.
Yeah.
Like Amazon
does. A few weeks. Presumably, they've got a factory making them. It's not like
they
ordered 1,000 and then said you could close the line. Go on and make Datsuns because we don't need you anymore. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, this isn't going to be like Microsoft Band. Remember last year they sold out of them and they literally sold out of them and it took them a while to make anymore. They're not going to do that for Surface Book.
Just say back ordered. Anyway, I'm excited. I can't wait. And I think we're still on for October 26th ship date. And now, the question is, we've got a new version, a new build of Windows 10. I just got 5.6.5. Is this the final threshold, too? Because, I mean, if they're going to ship it in 12 days, that means they probably want to put it on those Surface Books now. No. So this is the gold master, right?
No.
I mean,
we don't believe so.
What version of Windows will we be getting on our new Surface Eye?
You're going to get RTM, I bet, right?
I think so. Yeah.
You mean the one that I had before in July 29th?
July. Yep. But you know what? It's not that big a deal because of how they're doing the updates. They're doing them as cumulative updates. So you'll get one when you first get the Surface Book, and it'll just update you with all the stuff.
First thing that'll happen is it'll update me.
Yeah.
Yeah. To threshold two or to some – to. I mean, I'm – oh, this is another thing. I'm on FastRing, so it will be my account. Will it immediately put me in FastRing? I should turn that off before I get the new.
You'll actually have to turn it on that machine before it will be on FastRing.
Oh, good.
So you're not automatically enrolled every time you get a new PC.
Got it. Clear. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Because I think I want to stick with whatever they do. I'll keep the Dell for the bleeding edge updates.
Yeah.
I was actually a little perturbed because I feel like an idiot. The last update I did before 5.6.5. broke Wi-Fi for some reason, and I wasn't getting. I couldn't get online.
This was on the Dell.
Yeah, on the Dell.
This is an XPS 11, 13, isn't it?
Yeah, this is this year's Dell.
Yep. That's been a big problem.
Some driver is not there or something.
Yeah, the wireless stack on the Dell is tough.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of people have had this problem. I had this problem. I meant to use that machine a lot more in France this year than I did. Part of the reason was the Wi-Fi.
Well, that's it. I'm throwing it out. Goodbye. I'm putting you in the trash.
My understanding is the new one fixes it.
So that's the funny thing. So here I am, an idiot, bemoaning on the air. Oh, I don't. What am I supposed to do now? I can't update it. My Wi-Fi is broken. And the chat room goes, there is Ethernet, right?
Yeah. Well, there's also these. This isn't one, but you can get little dongles that for USB that do Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it doesn't. So it doesn't have. An Ethernet jack on this Dell, but I
actually,
go over.
I'll tell you what. To prove to you that this is an issue, here's the one I have, and look what's in the look what's in it. That's a Wi-Fi dongle. And that's the reason.
Interesting. So really, is there some hardware issues?
Oh yeah.
Interesting. Well, what I did is I went over to John. I said, "Hey, do we have Ethernet in the studio?" He said, "What do you mean? Everything has Ethernet." And I said, "Well, do you have an Ethernet port I could borrow?" And he gave me one. And I plugged in, and sure, and lo and behold, you know what? Ethernet's fast.
Yeah.
It is.
It's reliable, too.
Don't you forget, though, after a while, I have Ethernet. That's like I hadn't used that. And then, by the way, Russell, our IT guy, comes in this morning and says, "Why are you using Wi-Fi on the Mac?" He says, "You're the number one bandwidth hog in the building on this Mac." And I said, you mean I have Ethernet?
You're using Wi-Fi on the Mac that you're using every day on the show.
Yeah. He said, that's no, funny. The desktop iMac. And my office Mac. And I said, well, he said, you have Ethernet. Not only do you have Ethernet, it's plugged in.
And you're not using it. Nice.
So I turn it off. He says, see if it still works without Ethernet. Oh, Wi-Fi. Yeah, it does. Whoops. Sorry about that. Whoops. So we should have a lot less Wi-Fi congestion in the studio now. Leo's iMac is
nice. Plus, now you can get some torrents going.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can do all that serving I've been wanting to do. We got a great BitTorrent directory over here. Every show ever produced on the network. Go ahead. Start downloading now.
Right.
I don't mind. We got plenty of bandwidth. Actually, I hope this won't shock you when I say this, but I think we're going to be moving the studio because this brew pub wants... They want this space. There's a brew pub next.
Oh, Leo, this changes everything. So I understood that someone was buying the building.
Yes.
That upset me. But now you're telling me it's a brew pub. And now I'm like,
We could be working amongst the vats.
That would be cool.
For this show, it would be perfect.
I know.
It would.
But I think they want
to. Who's buying it? Lagunitas?
It's a San Diego concern. They're called The Patio. Oh. They run a bunch of restaurants in San Diego. And I guess they want to have a. They noticed that this has become the capital of microbrew. It's funny because Lagunitas just got sold. Half of it got sold to Heineken. I mentioned the new place is next to Lagunitas. Might be next to Lagunitas. And Russell says, well, you know, there's an even better brew pub, a brewery across the street from Lagunitas. That's where the...
This isn't exactly the main topic of our show, but interestingly, I was just in Fort Collins. Well, I'm curious what you guys think about this. You know, obviously, Sam Adams was the big thing in Boston. They've expanded all over. And the Sam Adams that you get today, if you buy it in a store, typically comes from Cleveland, not from the Boston area.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's a little depressing. Right. And so you get this thing that started as a craft brew maker.
The original.
A beer maker.
And now they're the original one? I mean, I think it was one of the very first,
it's 10 minutes from here. It's very close.
Microbreweries to make it nationally was Sam Adams.
Right, and really make it.
Yeah.
So this summer when we went to Ireland, we saw Lagunitas in Dublin, which I thought was a little weird. But Lagunitas has clearly taken off in some national way. And to get to that size, to kind of get to that level of distribution, I think that you kind of leave behind something that was special about you to begin with, unfortunately. And when I was in Colorado... New Belgium Brewery, which I love.
Oh, yeah, Fat Tire.
Major expansion there. They're available nationally almost everywhere. Fat Tire's everywhere. The beer that you buy from New Belgium, if you don't live in Colorado, very soon will be coming out of North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got to tell you, that does not... I mean, I love the company. I love the beer. You know, I don't know. It makes me a little nervous.
It's a trade-off, right? It's a trade-off of getting good beer in more places. Like Lagunitas has that big brew pub in Chicago.
Yeah, they just opened Chicago. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that happens.
It's like when your favorite band hits it big and you kind of stop liking them because they're popular, which I never sort of appreciated, but now
exactly like that.
I think I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the good news is the place we're looking at, we haven't signed the lease yet, but the place we're looking at, not only is it next to Lagunitas, it's next to Hen House, which is across the street from Lagunitas. And as you know,
that's not in,
they make an excellent saison. Yeah, it's in Petaluma.
Quite a ways away in Petaluma? Where is it in Petaluma?
No, it's like a couple miles from here. It's nearby.
I mean, is it in the downtown area or is
No, it's not in downtown. Yeah. It's over by Lagunitas. It's over on the northeast side of Petaluma.
Okay.
But that's, we haven't signed a lease. We're looking at it. If we can get the ceiling high enough, we can move in there. We need, we need 16 feet for the lights.
Are you going to buy this time or are you going to?
No.
Lease again?
I don't mind moving every 10 years. This was a little sooner than I'd planned, but every 10 years or so. You want to build a new studio. You really don't.
I like it there, Leo. This is disappointing.
I know.
I like it too.
You will like the new place. First of all, it's going to look exactly like this. My office is going to be exactly the same.
Sure.
But I think we'll do something different in the outside. It'll be just you. Yeah, we want to. It's a chance to do something new.
Yeah.
I know. I would love to stay here, but
I fear change.
They want
to
put vats in here now, and it's going to be very hoppy smelling. It just won't be the same.
Fantastic.
I'm starting to enjoy that smell.
Really, it's growing on you.
Yep.
So anyway, why did I bring that up? I'm sure there was a reason.
Minutes ago when this came up and I sidetracked it.
Like I said, I can no longer make short-term memories, so I have no idea. So let's get back to 565.
right, what are we the new build.
The new build of Windows. What's yes. new in 565? Anything?
So it came out on Monday. It includes those new integrated Skype apps.
You've accepted.
This you have to be on the fast ring for or slow ring?
Fast ring.
Fast ring.
For this one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which
tab previews.
Go ahead.
And Edge.
Should I download a new Skype? Do I need to go to the store and get Skype or does it all just.
No, the point of those apps is that they're building Skype functionality into the built-in apps in Windows 10. So you don't have to download an app. So there's a messaging app that will have Skype, you know, text messaging, and then a video. I think it's called video. What's it called? Video.
It's called video, right?
Skype video. It's called Skype video. That will let you do video call.
Phone? Is that right?
And they're built in.
Is there a phone? I don't know if there's a. Oh, there's
I thought
a phone.
There was a call one.
Yeah, there's a phone now. Look at that.
Yeah.
Skype video, but it says trusted Windows Store app.
Well, Skype text messaging actually occurs in messaging.
Just called messaging. Okay.
It's just called messaging. And this is, we originally had a messaging app back in Windows 8, and it kind of went by the wayside. So, I mean, are there seriously three apps? So, there's a phone app for voice calls.
I thought
and then
there were going to be three. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. There are three here. Yeah. I can see them.
So
these are universal apps, right? Universal Windows apps, which means these are the apps that also will be in Windows 10 Mobile at some point.
That's right.
Here it says, I can choose. It says send on Skype and there's a drop down, but nothing happens. So I guess.
Yeah. Listen, if anyone who's used Skype for any amount of time on Windows, we'll know that you'll be talking in Skype. It'll be, you know, communicating with someone in the desktop version of Skype. And what will be happening is every time the other person writes you, a notification will appear for the messaging app.
Okay.
Because it's the same conversation that two apps are handling.
Right.
That's just the best.
So I launched messaging. It launched Skype video for some reason. But I do have messaging here. It says conversations, no messages.
Yeah. Well, search for phone, by the way, Leo.
Phone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
P-H-O. I'm typing upside down and backwards like.
Nice. There
phone. Trusted Windows Store app phone. Calls you make and receive. So this is Skype. Or what?
Skype.
Speed dial. Sorry. Select.
I believe this is Skype for audio calls.
Can it? But now, phone implies it's a phone call. Can I call landlines?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I use Skype all the time to call phone numbers, right? So I don't see why you couldn't put
in
it
in the
a phone
past,
number.
You'd have to have a Skype out. You know, you pay for Skype out to do that. But maybe Microsoft.
That's right.
So they're giving that away now.
No. I assume you would still have to have some kind of Skype balance. Okay. So I have, you know, $10 in there or something.
Right. Okay. So by virtue of being logged into my Skype, all of these things, it says Microsoft Phone 1.10.1000.
That's amazing.
That's really 0.0. Let's make that clear. 1.10.1000.0. Sounds like an IP address.
Right. There's more going on in that about box than there is in the app.
No kidding. And so please enter your number. Oh, man. Okay, so there's some setup involved here. Yeah. But will I be able to do SMS? It looks like I can do SMS in the messaging because of Skype.
I've not tried that, so I don't want to say that that's possible.
Standard SMS rates might apply. I don't know. Well, should I put my landline number in here or should I put...
I'm not going near this one. I'll just let me know what you've done with this.
It's a beta. Let's just say that.
And there's no instruction at all. I mean, really, the screens are just nothing. It doesn't say, could say, if you use a landline number, you know, I mean, no, it doesn't say anything.
What's funny is if you shrink that thing down, it will look exactly like a phone app. It looks like a phone screen. You know, if you shrink it so that it's just kind of a column.
Yeah.
It forms a
dialer.
It's a phone app. It's the phone app, you know. Uh-huh.
Well, let me try messaging Paul Thurrott. Nope, don't know him. No results found.
Why would I be in there?
Let me just try Thurrott.
Nope, I mean, it's funny message.
Nothing. Doesn't. And type a Skype message. Smiley face. Oh, they've got some new. I have a monkey emoji. I can send monkey. All right.
When I typed in my phone number and hit enter, it actually resolved to my name.
Ah.
And I don't know. I mean, is that really sending it to my phone? That would be crazy.
It seems like it's kind of technology, dare I say, broken?
Confuses me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
It seems like almost a stub for an application to come later.
Yeah, no, I this is clearly in process. I think that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know where that went. That's really funny.
Huh.
I somehow messaged myself. I have kind of a sad one.
So. Yeah. Better you than nobody.
True.
I actually see text message history in here, though. And seriously, it goes back to like 2012.
Yeah, so that must be your Skype, yeah. Whatever Skype you've attached to your Microsoft account. Because the main Skype I use is not yet attached to my Microsoft account. But I have a Microsoft Skype. I know, because the picture of me on the Microsoft Skype is of a puffy dog.
Right.
Also, I'm not crazy about this now. I'm getting a recommendation for an application in my start menu.
Yep.
You can turn that off. You can shut that off,
The application it's recommending is called Diddler. I don't even want to click that, I'll be honest.
You know what? I totally shut that feature off, that recommendation thing. To me, it's like an ad.
It is an ad. Like an ad.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's not a Diddler is not a Microsoft program. I'm pretty sure they bought that space, right?
Or Microsoft.
Or Microsoft just put it there, yeah.
Right. They figure who to promote.
It's a draw and share. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
So you can get rid of that.
How do I do that?
I know you can do it from start settings.
I'll figure it out. There's probably some settings.
Yeah, there's a setting for it.
I can tell you where to get to it, but I'm curious if you tap and hold on it, if that will give you the option to turn it off.
Oh, it should, right? But
I'm wondering. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no.
I've already turned mine off. So.
Yeah, it's not.
I did too.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So if you go to start personalize, I'm sorry, if you go to settings, personalization,
I'm doing
start.
Force touch. I'm going to have to stop get out of that habit.
Yeah, force touch. Yeah.
Force touch. Oh, wait a minute. Don't show the suggestion. It did do it. Don't
there
show the suggestion. Okay. Turn off all suggestions. Thank
you.
Yeah,
it seemed like that was the deal.
Yeah, and then it brings you to occasionally show suggestions at start. No. Show most used. In fact, I can show more tiles or not. Yeah, I'll show more tiles. I like that. Show most used apps. Yep. Show recently used apps. Yep. Use start full screen. No. Show recently opened items in jump lists on start or the task bar. Okay. Sounds good to me. Good. So that's gone. Yay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a handy thing to get rid of.
Yeah. I don't want an ad in there. Can I do that when you get started?
You can also resize the start menu if you want to get rid of that space. You can just drag it down from the top.
Should I uninstall Get Started or pin it or unpin it? I just uninstall it. I don't want it. Uninstall it. Nice. It's gone.
Yeah, I'm really aggressive with apps I never use like that.
Yeah, Get Skype. I already got Skype. Don't want to Get Skype app.
Yeah. That's the other thing. So they have a Get Skype and a Get Office, but when you get those things, it doesn't get rid of the Get whatever app. Yeah, I don't.
But it was smart enough to give me a PowerShell link. Nice.
It heard you talking about PowerShell.
Like, you know what? I could type LS. Oh. Love it. Loving it. No more dir.
Would you like to automate something, Leo?
I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. So we have messaging. We have Edge tab previews and sync.
Yep.
Edge is still kind of constrained. It doesn't have plugins yet. I can't use LastPass with it yet.
Right. But they did. You know what? The sync settings is a big deal. I have no idea how they didn't make it to RTM, but you can sync favorites and your reading list item now between devices. It's really important.
Yes.
So kind of basic functionality, but nice that it's finally in there.
And that's in settings, presumably.
I assume. Yeah. I don't actually use Edge, Leo. I'm a normal person.
Right.
But
yeah, no, it is. In fact, it's turned on by default.
No, but you know what? This is one of the things that keeps me from using it. Plugins is the final thing. I can't really use this thing until I have certain capabilities.
Edge is at least elegant and clean. So there is a sync. And by the way, it was turned on by default. So that's nice.
Yep. I just saw it too. So it's right there in settings. Nice.
Okay, cool.
What else?
Very nice.
Get inking in Cortana now, so you can, Cortana can understand inked notes.
How?
Right.
How does she do that?
You write something down and she understands
she converts it. Yeah. She converts
magic.
It? Really?
Yeah, I mean, this capability is built into Windows, so it makes sense that she'd be able to do it.
Well, what it makes sense for is a Surface, right? Because you've got a pen and you might be taking handwritten notes. That's great.
Yep.
The annotation feature in Edge, which they really push. How often do you really want it?
Right.
Never.
But I like, if I can take handwritten notes.
Plus, the thing you share is a picture. You know, there's not some file format that's the web page plus the annotations, which would be kind of cool.
It's an image. It's not the page.
It's an image.
Oh, that's not good. All right. Cortana, what else is new in Cortana? She's still there. She can't hear me on the Dell, by the way. Dell driver issues with Windows 10 are not great. Mm. I have issues with the issues.
They added some more categories to Cortana, so now she can do some leisure time activity tracking. So like movies and event reminders, like, hey, you need to go now if you're going to make it to the 7 p.m. movie.
Good.
It's handy.
Really handy, yeah. And is it based that information on current traffic as well as just the route?
I believe so. Since I don't drive, I don't make use of this feature. Well,
you can't tell it that I walk and then it would give you walking? I bet, Google will do that.
I wonder if you can.
On Google now, you can say my preferred
mode. That's one of the things that Google's really good about.
Yeah.
I think Siri does that as well. But Google, because Google has such a great understanding of traffic,
right,
and different routes to get to different places, right, it's such a better experience for this kind of thing. I think everyone has to just offer it. The Microsoft relies on here Maps data, which isn't as up to date, but I'm not sure if it does factor in traffic and stuff like that. I'd have to. I just saw it. I just booked my Las Vegas trip, which we'll all be at, and yeah. Cortana just asked me to. Do you want me to track this for you? Sure. Mm-hmm. Go nuts.
So this is interesting. I'm looking at the Cortana settings, and it under the Connect settings, under the notebook settings, I can have connected accounts, and it offers me two. One is Office 365, which I'm subscribing to, mm-hmm. And the other is Uber.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. They just announced that fairly recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it says Cortana can provide more value when your accounts and services are connected. I'd be interested. It must know, like, if I took a lot of Ubers. Like, Mary Jo, you probably take a lot of Ubers.
Not that many. No. Cabs.
Yeah. I was going to say, she lives in New York. But, to catch a – this is interesting. I have to explain this to people sometimes. In New York City, you just walk onto the street and
there's
a cab.
There's 1,000 cabs.
Like, they're everywhere.
Like fish. Like schools of fishes.
It will actually say, hey, we know you're going to the airport for your trip. Do you want to call an Uber?
That would really be cool.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of those connected accounts. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're working on more integrations like that, especially through email. They're doing more and more of those kind of direct
integrations. Like scanning your email and giving you that information. Do you have to use Outlook Mail to do that?
I think you do.
Let's put it this way. I do this on the iPhone, and it's really no different on Windows. Let's say if you had an iPhone and you wanted to use the Microsoft Outlook app, or if you had an iPhone and you wanted to use the Gmail app or whatever, it still makes sense to configure the built-in apps to do certain things because that stuff gets out through notifications and gets into the personal assistant and all that kind of stuff. And so on Windows, what you could do is configure your email and calendar account for those apps, and then you never have to run them. You can turn off all the notifications. You can still use the app you normally use, but now that stuff will get into Cortana and you can get it will get into the messaging app. So you have your contacts in there, that kind of stuff. I mean, it still makes sense to put this your account information into the built-in apps on any platform for this kind of reason. If that makes sense.
I'm training my Cortana. Hey, Cortana, do I have anything on Wednesday?
Got it. Here's the next one.
No, you don't.
Got it.
You really don't.
I shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, I apologize. I got distracted. It's very, very, very rarely a woman actually wants to hear anything I have to say. So I couldn't resist conversing with her. So what else? We got Cortana.
You're literally on item two.
I know. Title bar updates.
Yeah, how about those vibrant title bars?
Oh,
I think that's a big deal. seriously, this summer, Brad and I separately had posted the same picture. Some guy had mocked up, this is what File Explorer should look like. And now that they've kind of made the title bars more vibrant, it actually looks like that thing we posted.
Nice,
so,
good.
It's just,
what do you mean when you say
people
vibrant?
Have been asking for this stuff.
It just looks white to me. What is vibrant
about
it? Yeah,
it's really white, like too white.
That's it? It's white? That's the vibrant?
Okay. No. So in other words,
colors,
no. So I don't you need that. To turn it on. So if you have to go into settings.
Where's the vibrant color bar setting?
Yeah, so go Windows key I.
Yeah.
personalized.
This doesn't have to be the Leo Laporte setting up Windows show, you know.
It's probably colors.
Colors.
And then scroll down.
Automatically pick an accent color from my background.
You don't have to worry about that part of it.
I will turn that on, though, because then it sees my background and then it matches.
Yep.
Show color on start, taskbar, action center, and title bar. Turn that on.
There you go. Now, you won't see it in the settings window, but open a file explorer window.
Yeah. Oh, it's vibrant. Well, it's mustard brown, but, you know, it's better than white. No, I like that. That's good. And I don't know why. Oh, I guess because there was a little brown in the rocks. It picked up the...
Yeah, it's I don't really like the automatic thing. It almost never picks the color I want.
Yeah, because mustard brown is not really
not a great color.
Brown in general,
Zune brown.
It's not
Zune brown.
Baby
guys.
Poop brown. I don't
Zune brown.
So okay, good. And
some
more
new icons, right? Yeah. Like Device Manager and RegEdit got new.
So they're getting. Closer
they're,
to...
They're making it look nicer.
Yeah, fit and finishy stuff.
That's really brown. Okay.
We didn't talk about the biggest change. We saved that for a separate discussion. Okay.
Which I assume is activation.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is something I've experienced, and I've gotten a lot of email from people who have experienced this as well, which is you have a PC, it's running some version of Windows whatever, and you upgrade it to Windows 10. And you use it for a little while, and you say, you know what? I want to blow this thing away and clean and install it from scratch. And according to Microsoft, once I've activated it under Windows 10, I can now clean install it for the rest of my life, no problems, no questions asked. Except you clean install it, and it does not activate. Now, what's supposed to happen at this point, and I've gotten a statement from Microsoft for this exact issue, you call, you do a voice activation, which we've had in Windows since, I don't know, actually maybe Windows XP. It's been a long time. And they're supposed to say, okay, we understand what happened.
Yeah.
And we'll allow it, and now you'll be all set. But that's not what's happening.
Because we always told people, it's easy, you just do that, and they'll be very nice about it.
Multiple people have told me they call. They're treated like a criminal. Oh. They're told that they have to go back and install the old version of Windows first and then upgrade again. A lot of those people do not have the software they need to install the old version of Windows, and they're kind of screwed. So... let me read this because I want to make sure you guys kind of take this the same way I do. But starting with this build, if you install this build of Windows 10 Insider Preview and presumably future builds, and it doesn't automatically activate, you can now enter the product key from Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 8.1 used to activate the prior Windows version on the same device to activate Windows 10. If you do a clean install of Windows 10 by booting off the media, you can also enter the product key from those same versions on qualifying devices during setup, and it will activate. So this, to me, says they're finally doing it the right way, which is you have all these people out in the world who have valid product keys tied to a computer. They just want to put Windows 10 on there. They don't want to jump through a bunch of hoops. Now they can clean install it. They can read their product key off of the power supply or get it out of Windows or however they have it, and it will work.
Mm.
Now, like everything else in life, it's not possible for me to test this on every single person's computer. And what's going to happen, I'm sure, is it's not going to work for somebody. But so far, I've gotten some pretty positive reports when people have tried this. So
nice.
I think they've fixed this big issue. I think they have.
Just to be clear, you now have a serial number that you can use on another machine.
Well, we should have already had this serial. It's a product key, right?
Product key. I mean,
if it's an older computer, you'll see it printed on one of those COA stickers that's on like a power supply or somewhere in the back of the tower or whatever. Modern versions of Windows, it's actually in the BIOS. You can use tools to obtain it if you want to do that. Those should automatically activate anyway. But the idea here is that if you have an activated computer, Windows 7, Windows 8, or 8.1, which is neat because remember, originally Windows 10 only supported upgrades from Windows 7 or 8.1 and from specific versions of those systems, right, that were completely updated. Now you can take the product key, as long as it was already activated on that PC, and just activate it. And that's exactly the way it should work. So simple. And this is the thing. Microsoft being Microsoft, my guess is that what they wanted to do was make it even simpler on people. Don't keep track of a number. Just don't worry about it. It's just going to work. But, you know, Microsoft being Microsoft, that doesn't actually work. So they're giving this as a backup. It doesn't replace the previous system. The previous system should still work. If you activate it on Windows 10, you should be able to clean install and never worry about it again. But if it doesn't work, now instead of having your software to do the, you know, to install the old version, you can just have your product key, and it's a much lower bar for people.
Good.
Yeah.
They probably planned this all along.
Jeez. I wonder. I bet they got so many panicked calls to the help desk that they said, we got to fix this somehow.
Yep. Well, and a lot of people like me and Mary Jo, you know, who talk to our PR people and say, you know, this is happening. And then they come back, oh, no, it's no big deal. Don't worry. No, you don't understand. I'm getting a lot of email about this. This means you're getting a ton of email about this.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So I'm glad they fixed it.
No, and I'm really impressed that they listen.
Yeah.
And they respond that way. That's nice. Not every company does.
Yeah, that's fair.
But enough about Threshold 2. What about, what's next? Yep. What about Redstone?
Yeah. So this week, there was some commotion around Microsoft, I think, activating servers where they were starting to do work for Redstone, which is the thing that comes after Threshold.
Not Windows 11.
Not Windows 11, still Windows 10. But what we think Redstone is going to be two different builds, at least two, that come out next year. Just like how we're having Threshold 1 and 2, there's going to be Redstone 1 and 2. And it's the build where Microsoft takes all the new features and puts them together in a build and makes that a new release, almost like a service pack to me. So we've been hearing bits and pieces about, next year is Redstone 2016. There'll be a spring and a fall version of Redstone. But what I'm hearing now is Redstone might have fewer features than Threshold had, and it might be more about Microsoft getting its processes right. So a lot of the things that we're complaining about around updates and how Windows as a Service works, that's what the focus, I believe, will be in Redstone more than adding a bunch more new features. I mean, there will be some new features, but I think it's more about fixing the process than it is about trying to just push more and more features out there, which I think will be really good. The product needs to be more stable.
And that's like saying there will be blood.
There will be blood.
There will be more of features.
I drink your milkshake.
There will be features, but I think the focus of Redstone is going to be more about process, which I'm really happy to hear, because I think the Windows as a Service thing is going to have some things to work out.
Already does. You know,
already
like that
does.
Activation thing we just talked about. I mean, this this is a learning process, right? I mean,
it is.
These are guys that have been building Windows a certain way, delivering updates a certain way forever, and now everything's different. I think we have our own little learning curve on the user side, but I think for Microsoft, it's also, you know, let's see what works, what doesn't work, adjust as we go.
We don't recognize
item three.
This domain. How come? I'm trying to connect Cortana to my Office 365.
It's not going to work.
It didn't. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Is it a home or business account?
It's home.
That's why.
It says we don't recognize. I typed in my Outlook address. We don't recognize this domain name. Make sure you typed your organization's domain name correctly.
Yeah, not going to work.
But it has to be
a business.
It's looking for a work address.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's home. It's Office 365 home. It doesn't like that.
Yeah, if only there were some way to differentiate when you say Office 365, which one was which, you know, again, is one of the issues I have with Microsoft's branding right now, because they have a lot of things named Outlook. They have a lot of things named OneNote. They have a lot of things named, OneDrive. And they have a lot of things called Office 365. And they're not really the same.
I mean,
they
have similarities. I should have read this more carefully, because it says, by connecting Cortana to your Office 365 work or school account, you agree to let Cortana access the information stored by you at your organization. Okay. So that was just foolish of me to even think that that might have anything to do with it.
No, I honestly, you see Office 365 listed as one of the three account types you can connect.
Yeah.
You know, you're a Microsoft guy. You've got these accounts. Of course you want to connect them.
Right.
You know, it's very natural. I think they need to have different names for these things.
Yeah. By the way, we were talking to Mikko Hipponen, who's 25 years as a security guru. I mean, I've known of him and talked to him before, and he's just great. And he's the research officer at F-Secure, which is one of the best known. It's a Finnish security company, but they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And I asked him about the security model in Windows 10. He said it's a must upgrade. It is absolutely an improvement.
Someone should tell Steve Gibson that.
I was just going to say that.
Steve, it's not about the security for Steve. It's about the privacy thing. And the fact that you can't really turn that off, he says. I think you could turn it off. Ours says, well, some stuff still leaks out. But even ours said it wasn't anything personal. It's not personal.
This time it's not personal.
It's not personal. But Steve just doesn't. You know, Steve, he's very old-fashioned.
Yes. Yeah. We mentioned a Unabomber style cabin earlier.
He's old-fashioned. I am not worried about the privacy on Windows 10, and I turn it all on because I want Cortana to do its thing and everything, and and I don't care if it knows where I go in an Uber. It's like, that's why
I want it to know. That's
I want it to know that. You know? Yeah.
Yes,
right. This time, it is personal.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. That was very. Oh well, we have one more thing in item one. Actually, we have eight more things in item one.
Actually, you know what? We can condense this down nicely.
No reason to rush.
No, I actually don't think it makes sense to spend a bunch of time talking about individual devices, right?
Well, what about
the I guess the thing I'd say is that
we'll smoosh it down, but don't say anything yet because we don't want to make the show too short.
Oh no! Don't worry.
We have plenty
don't
more.
Worry.
Coming up.
Don't need to smoosh. But what we're still talking about the new build a little bit. The nested virtualization preview. I'm curious about
that. Oh, right. We didn't talk about that.
What is that?
Right. We didn't even know that was in the new build until they did a separate blog post about it. But in short, you can run Hyper-V in a VM, right? In Hyper-V on Hyper-V.
Wow.
So people who do a lot of demos, like product demos, this is something they've been dying to have. It's not. It means the virtualization capability is not dependent on the hardware. And Microsoft has a lengthy blog post detailing this.
Lots of diagrams, really cool. Which I always love.
Can you run can you run a Hyper-V inside a Hyper-V inside a Hyper-V? And it's Hyper-V all the way down.
Yep.
Wow.
It's what do you call that? Recursive.
Yeah, recursive Hyper-V.
This is how Skynet happens. It's robots building robots.
But this also says to me, this means this is a feature that's going to also be in Windows Server 2016. So it's still proof that Windows client and server are kind of being built in lockstep to me.
Now, if you are going to the Microsoft store and you say, well, they're out of the new Surface Book, or maybe you just the price chokes you. There are now, everybody's kind of, the two-in-one market boom is going to happen big time now. Microsoft's demonstrated that, I think.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the, like, kind of the high-level points I will now make about all of these computers. Because when you look at HP, Toshiba, Acer, and Dell in particular, you see a lot of, or some Surface-like devices that are very, you know, inspired by / direct rip-offs of Lenovo, too. Of Surface, and it's very interesting to see these kind of things happen. The better PC makers will go off in different directions and do their own thing. I particularly like the HP Spectre X2, which is their version of Surface, has a real hardware keyboard that is kind of a step up from the new type cover for Surface Pro 4 or from the Lenovo Mix 7, I think was the name of that. And so You kind of have this range of choices. It may partially explain why Microsoft is doing Surface Book, because you have to think that part of the goal for Surface is to inspire the rest of the PC market to adapt to this, you know, style of device. And now it's happened. And so what do they do? I mean, does Surface just kind of go away? Is the point already made and we don't really need this anymore? Or do they kind of innovate in a new direction? And so I think that's one of the things that's very interesting about the stuff. You see a lot of Surface devices, not from Microsoft. You know,
so Toshiba, Acer, LG. Dell? Did you see anyone that you thought was particularly of interest?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this. A couple years ago, Acer made an 8-inch tablet that came with a keyboard dock that was for like a 10 or 11-inch device, and you could put the little tablet, like, clip it onto the back for travel purposes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, a little Acer, I think it was a W8 or W7. Yeah. This year, HP has done their version of that, and it's gorgeous. It's like an HP Envy Note. It's a beautiful little aluminum mini tablet. It clips onto a full-size keyboard, you know, for travel purposes. Again, it has a kind of a flip-around cover, so even while you're even when you're traveling, it's actually covered up. It's not just sitting there, and the keyboard's not exposed like it was on the Acer. And the difference is just the quality level. It's still, you know, it's Atom-based, low-end kind of computer in some ways, but it supports an active pen, has a full-size keyboard, and it's super light and, you know, kind of neat for traveling. So that's kind of a cool one.
I think this is, you know, by doing the Surface Pro and the Surface Book, Microsoft has provided a reference platform, high-end reference platform, and I love it that there's all, now it means, oh, well, let's see what else we can do in this space. And
They've really, you know, they've kind of goosed the PC makers. Yeah. And of course, one reaction to that goosing was to make Chromebooks. But another reaction was to kind of step up the game a little bit. And you really see it on these new devices. I mean, imagine how different Windows 8 could have been if we saw devices of this quality 3 years ago. We just did not see this stuff.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of these look like Surface, I feel like each one has its own little thing that makes it a little bit different.
Certainly,
this
Envy is unique. I mean, it is. It looks like really almost an iPad on a keyboard dock.
Well, there's a different Envy called the Spectre X2 that is more Surface-like. So it has its own kickstand design. It's kind of a U-shaped piece of aluminum. It goes all the way back like the Surface does. Much nicer keyboard than the Surface. It's kind of a fabric back, which is also very nice. It's Core M based, and so there are obviously trade-offs there, but one of the interesting things about it is it's completely silent.
Ah. No fans, you mean?
Yeah. No fans.
And look at this. This is pretty. The ash silver with copper.
I know. I love that thing. Yeah. I have the normal silver version of that, and it's a beautiful kind of two-in-one laptop type thing. And, of course, you see this, and it's like, oh, God, this is so beautiful. It really is. It's super expensive, but it's so beautiful.
Super expensive compared to the Surface Book? I doubt it.
No, not compared to it. In other words, you could get a normal X360 for about $900, and I think this one starts at $1,300.
Right. Paying $400 for the trim. And the BMS.
Yeah, I mean, it may have higher-end processors and stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, this is good. You want diversity in the market, and I think, I think maybe Microsoft knew that the OEMs would take this more as a challenge than as a sea.
Well, their initial reaction was much like that of a cantankerous child. I mean, I think they basically just peed the floor on purpose and cried a lot. I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, 3 years later, I mean, I think we, you know, I think there's still some bad feelings under the covers a little bit. But the reaction that we see now and the reaction in the form of these new products is so much better than it was. I mean, it's so much better. Obviously, there's still inexpensive devices. In fact, I didn't have time to do this before the show, but sometime today I'll post an article about a $200 Lenovo IdeaPad laptop, you know, 11-inch thing. It's $200. Comes with a full year of Office 365, you know, personal. Still doing that. $70 value. It doesn't have touch, right? It's a little, you know, but it's such a nice machine. And for $200, you know, it's not that like a cheap netbook. You know, it's a decent laptop, and that's kind of cool too. And so you have a lot of choices across the price spectrum for high quality devices.
Plus, you
see
now,
crapware, by the way. No crapware.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Right. And you see.
Interesting.
Well, you know what's different, too, is when we remember when Windows 8 happened, the OEMs brought out their devices, and it was almost like Microsoft versus them, right? And a lot of them didn't even know Microsoft was doing the Surface at that point, and they were surprised. This time, it feels like there aren't surprises. They knew Microsoft was going to do the Surface Pro 4 and the Surface Book. Microsoft's out at their events promoting them. They're sending their top executives out there. They're going around. They're doing deals on the Microsoft site for each day. Like Toshiba Day, they give you $150 off something. And it's a really different kind of feel than it was last time.
And that has nothing to do with technology, you know, nothing. This is just about people skills and the sort of, you know, the people who are in charge of Windows now. And, you know, and also Microsoft from an organizational perspective, devices and Windows are together now, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you see this whether it's because of Terry Myerson or whatever, because of Satya Nadella, I'm not really sure. They're working with their partners. What a concept.
Well, I decided to kind of go all in on the Surface Book. When it gets here, I'm going to try to use it for a full time for a month and just really give it a shot. I'm pretty excited about it, and I think it is in a way jump starting this Windows 10 market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
All right, you know what's really funny about the Surface Book, by the way? A reader sent me this note today. He sent me an article I wrote in June 2014 when I reviewed the Surface Pro 3 and I pitted it against my Acer machine that I ended up buying. And my last line is, I wish Microsoft would just launch something I've been calling a Surface Book.
Nice.
You named it.
An Ultrabook type clamshell style laptop. Whoa. But this is not what the Surface Pro 3 is.
Yeah. You nailed it, and you know,
it's
the
funny
truth
I called it that. I forgot I did, and the reader's "Hey, did you know?" I said, "No, I forgot I wrote that." Even
I can beat that. In 1999 at CES, when I was working for Tech TV, we were showing off Microsoft tablets, and I called them iPads.
Sure. So you should get a job at the NFL, Leo.
You should. Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. I think the internet has been a revolution for those of you who are hiring, whether you're a small business person or you're in HR. I know when we're hiring here at Twit, you know, we use the internet to look for people. But the problem is, where do you go? There are hundreds of job boards. There's Craigslist and Twitter and all sorts of other places you can post. And who knows whether where the right person is lurking waiting for you to post your job. So don't be limited by that. Go to ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. You'll be joining 400,000 companies, including Twit, that uses ZipRecruiter to hire the best employee. And boy, there is no more important job, I think, as a business owner than hiring the right employees. They're going to determine the character, the function of your company. The company is about the people who work for it. So ZipRecruiter, you go there, you post there, you'll get right up on 100-plus job sites with a single click. They also have 6 million current resumes. So you'll post once, and within, you know, 24 hours, you're going to see a bunch of applicants. Now, here's the key. They don't go to your phone or your inbox. That would be bad. ZipRecruiter has its own interface. You go there. All the candidates are there. You can screen them, eliminate the ones that are not even close. You can rate them, and then you make the hiring decision. It's really, if you just use it once, and I think you will see why it is so great. We got an email from Scott, who said, the recruiting process, the direct quote, the recruiting process used to be so painful. Before, I'd post to several places. I'd get a million resumes, but only a few of them would be from qualified candidates. It was torture. With ZipRecruiter, we post once, we get qualified candidates in one easy-to-review place. And this is the most important sentence in the whole email. We've hired some of our best employees using ZipRecruiter. You want to make it easy for you, but you don't. But you also want to get the best employees. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows. You've got 4 days free. That's enough to actually hire somebody right away. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. By the way, great support, great pricing. Everything is done right. You're going to really like it. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. We thank them so much for their support. They've been a big supporter of Twit this past year. We're very excited about having them next year, too. They've signed up for 2016. I just think a really great company, and we're glad to use them, too. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Paul Theriot, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Windows. You want to move on to Windows Mobile, or would you prefer to just keep talking about the Surface Book?
So actually, there is some breaking news on the Windows 10 mobile front.
Yes.
Microsoft, after exactly a month, has released a new build of this system to insiders. Unfortunately, because it's Windows 10 Mobile, there is some bad news, which is that they discovered a bug just last night that would prevent people upgrading from the previous Windows Insider build to the new one successfully.
What?
So they're only allowing you to upgrade from Windows Phone 8.1, meaning that if you want this build, you have to...
What?
Yeah,
what? I have to roll back to roll forward?
Yep. Right.
They said,
or
the
you could just wait for the next. You could wait for the next build. I guess.
Oh, okay.
They've been getting so much pressure to update this build. They said, you know, we could have held this longer and tried to fix this, or we could make this an option. And if you don't want to do it, just stay on the old build. Right?
Yeah, for the past 4 weeks, they've been running into, you know, they've been trying to release builds, and they run into a problem at the last second, and they've delayed it every time. And so this time, I think they just said, okay,
we'll give you something, and if you don't want to roll it back, how do you have to run that app on Windows to roll it back?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the newly renamed Windows Device Recovery Tool.
WDRT.
But remember, you know, you're losing everything when you do this. So back up, et cetera. If you've got pictures on the camera, other data, pictures on the phone, I should say, from the camera, or other data on the phone, you're going to want to, you know, copy it to the computer or whatever, because you're going to lose everything.
So that's okay, because really, frankly, my 1520 hasn't been the same since I went to the dev builds. So
You know what? This is the issue. I actually, if you can get Windows 10 Mobile installed, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But the key part of that sentence is the if clause there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how often things go wrong with it. And it's unfortunate. And I had just last night, foolishly, upgraded my 930. I should put upgraded in air quotes to Windows 10 Mobile, and I have no start screen on that device. It only goes to the all apps list. You know, you can still run apps. It's a little bit like using Android, actually. But it's just, you know, so I've blown it away. I put it down to 8.1, and I'll upgrade to Windows 10 Mobile after the show. But
yeah, I don't think that's
it's a tough process.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of new things in this build either.
No,
there's a lot of fixes.
Nothing like hugely meaningful.
No. Yeah. Like they say, Cortana now works in Japan and also in English for insiders in Australia and Canada. There's some messaging app improvements, but they're not yet using those Skype apps that we just talked about on Windows 10 for PCs. Diverse emoji.
Diverse.
Emoji.
Great. That means different skin colors, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They fixed a lot of things that have been bugs around apps crashing and call blocking not working, the camera app not working. So they made a lot of individual changes and updates to things, but there aren't a ton of brand new features in here.
Right.
Okay.
So you got that.
Is it more reliable? Is there some reason I should do this?
The word reliable does not appear in the blog post, Leo.
Jesus.
I would.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. You know.
Oh, Lord.
No. Use at your own risk.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know,
I have not moved any of my phones to Windows 10 Mobile.
I'm going to go to WDRT and go back to the release Windows 8.1 and just wait.
Yeah.
1520 is still decent phone, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that whole series of phones, you know, the Icon, the 930, and the 1520 are all
nothing wrong with them.
Very capable devices.
And they're going to get all the new software.
Yep.
So the only difference will be whatever minor hardware differences, like Windows Hello, and you know, so it won't do iris recognition. Big deal.
Right. Right.
All right.
Yep. Well, it won't do Continuum either, and that you know, that's going to be a big deal for some people.
I really want to. I'm really interested to see if that is something I will want to use. Unfortunately, you can't try before you buy. You have to
I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think for the few people that do need it, it's going to be exactly, you know, right. It's going to be great. I think it's going to work well. I just think the issue is apps. There aren't any.
Right.
And
Who owns a Windows phone and doesn't have a laptop?
I know.
Well, developing world, right?
We are talking new
really?
Customers.
Really? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But are they going to spend $100 on a dock?
I mean, I could see schools. You know, a school buys a dock.
Okay, that's interesting.
Maybe.
One dock.
Yeah.
Right, and then
yeah.
you have your classroom, and you have it on a big monitor, and
it's
you can
not.
Use
by
it
the
that
way,
way,
it's not just the dock. You have to buy a high end Windows phone. It doesn't work with. You have to have one of these new 850s.
You have to buy a new one. Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's a great idea.
I think we're equally clear-headed about it. It's an interesting differentiator.
Of limited
doesn't really
value.
Make the we'll see.
Yeah. I gotta make this Windows document bigger. Speaking of which, limited carrier availability is a good thing, says somebody. Not Mary Jo Foley.
It's not me saying that. Nope.
It's not like, on the horizon. Here,
okay, so
how is
here's
this a good thing, Paul Thurrott?
First of all, their plan to distribute these new phones was telegraphed back in July. This is not really something new that has happened and that we should be surprised by. I was told point blank Microsoft is going to work with the carriers that worked with it, and it is not going to work with the carriers that didn't. And Verizon's name came up explicitly. We're not working with Verizon. Now,
okay, but
the problem
Microsoft
is for
never
people,
said that.
No, never read as a public statement, right?
Because Mary Jo would have noticed, I think.
Well, no, we discussed. I mean, we've discussed this.
I mean, we all were guessing, right? We were guessing.
I was told. I was told this. I was literally told this. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess my problem is, you know, we've discussed this on the podcast. I kind of went back because there's been a lot of reactions to this. I thought, well, come on, I wrote about this in July, and actually, I didn't really write about it in July. I've talked about it on the podcast, and so, you know, this is Microsoft implementing the plan that they either alluded to or said explicitly back in July, depending on the source. And it is that, you know, we're not doing things. You know, we failed. We can't compete with Apple and with Samsung and Android in the open marketplace. We're not going to try to get our phones on every single carrier in every single country, and it's not going to work. We know that we're going to have a smaller business, and hopefully it becomes a profitable business, and that one of the ways we do that, we being Microsoft in this case, is that we work with the handful of carriers that have been friendly to us, and we sell directly to end users. I will say the one thing that they've done that I don't understand and goes against what I assume to be the case is they're not selling these things with truly universal radios, meaning these phones, you should be able to buy them unlocked from Microsoft and work, and they should work on Verizon, but they don't. And the weird thing about this, and I don't know much about this topic, but according to many people, the chipsets that are in there do support Verizon, and thus Microsoft must have turned them off.
Oh.
And no, I think and that's freaking people out. Yes.
No, what I heard was Microsoft didn't turn them off. I heard Verizon wouldn't authenticate against the chips.
Well, that's okay.
That actually
okay. Either way,
more likely.
It's the same result, right?
Yeah, but it's the same result.
The question is, who do you blame?
Right. I blame Verizon.
And I think you're right. You know, Verizon is, you know, Jeff Jarvis rants
Verizon
against them because they were supposed to support the Pixel.
Verizon has been screwing over Microsoft since Verizon and Microsoft.
Well, they screw over Google, too. Microsoft, Verizon really wants to control this stuff very tightly. And the way they do it, by the way, is just say, well, we're just not going to authenticate you.
Yes.
So you can't get it.
Right.
So
in other words, Microsoft, imagine if Microsoft sold a phone for $550 to a user and said, don't worry, it's going to work everywhere. And then they went to Verizon with this phone and Verizon said, yeah, we're not doing that.
Not going to work everywhere.
Not going to work. And that it is Verizon. I want to be really clear about
that. I think that's true.
It is Verizon.
Yeah. So don't blame Microsoft. Blame Verizon.
No, I mean, they're doing the best that they can. And that's the problem is in the world of carriers, especially in the United States, the best that they can is not very good. You know,
I think they're the Comcast of carriers. I think they're just...
Yeah, the problem is they're the biggest carrier.
Right, which is why they're the Comcast of carriers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Monopoly makes you arrogant.
Right.
T-Mobile can't afford to do stuff like that.
Yeah. And, right, and they do the right thing by...
Yeah, they want every phone they possibly can.
Right.
Yeah. They're not going to turn away a customer.
Right. I've seen a lot of posts... People are saying, does Microsoft really want to sell these phones? Yeah, they do.
They do.
I don't know. That is an absolutely clueless question. They would love for people to buy these phones, but they're trying to be realistic about what's happening. This goes back to, you know, back in July when I was I tried to be so honest about this. Windows Phone has failed, period. The new strategy is to do less. And people were like ripping me apart like I hated Windows Phone. Guys, this is the reality. And this is the reality implemented. This is how it has to go. We should, as Windows Phone enthusiasts, we should just be happy that Microsoft made these phones and that we can buy them and use them, as limited as it is.
Paul, it's as if the coach of the San Francisco 49ers got up at the podium and said, you know, we're only going to win two games, but hey, we're going to have fun.
Sure. Yep.
You can't.
Hey, everyone's a winner, and you know what? Everyone's getting a trophy, baby.
Participant.
Yep.
I got my participant trophy.
Welcome to the United States.
I love that ad. But seriously, you can't. I mean, everybody knows the San Francisco 49ers are a horrible team this year. But you can't get up on the podium and say, hey, yeah, you know what? We're going to work on it and we'll lose, you know, about 14 games this season. That's okay. And it was being like, Microsoft can't say, well, look, actually they did. They wrote off the Windows Phone division as a loss. So that's as close as you can get. They took a $7 billion loss.
The other way to look at it is, you know, Microsoft had a strategy to compete with Apple and whoever else in the smartphone industry. They worked on it for 5 years. It didn't work. And so, you know, when they announced we're doing this different, that's the acknowledgement of failure right there. When the old thing didn't work, we're doing a new thing, you know. And fortunately for people who care about this product, the new thing involves selling nice new phones. These are awesome phones.
Yeah, I give them credit for not giving up.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't totally throw in the towel.
They made nice phones. What more do you want? I mean, really, what more can Microsoft do? Yeah, but I think that's why it's important to say that this is probably Verizon's decision, not Microsoft's decision. It almost certainly is Verizon's decision.
So here's what happens now, regardless of whose fault this is. You're on Verizon. You have an older phone. It's time for you to upgrade. Here's your choices. This phone on AT&T, maybe on T-Mobile, and that's it.
I mean, I just
and so look, now your choice is
you could complain to the FCC because Verizon isn't supposed to do this.
I do believe that regulatory bodies should get involved, and they're not going to do it for Windows Phone. It's too small.
Yeah.
But I really do. This is a serious issue. These carriers have way too much control, and they have way too much mistaken belief that they are anything but a dumb pipe. They should just provide us with the bandwidth that we are contractually obligated to get and get out of the way. That's all I want from Verizon or from Fios, which actually is Verizon, or Comcast or whoever. Just get out of the way. I don't want your stupid apps.
Right.
I don't want your stupid extra services. I don't want anything else. I just want the bandwidth. And frankly, they don't even deliver that.
No.
Speaking of which,
they're terrible companies.
They're also getting in the way of updates, aren't they?
Yes, they are, which is hilarious.
So what? Yeah. So Microsoft can't.
They can't do anything.
The only reason Apple can do this is they had this, you know, power in the market.
They're Apple.
They can say.
By the way, Google can't do this.
Even Google can't do this. Right.
Right. This is not a Microsoft problem. This is an everyone but Apple problem.
And unfortunately, because people look at Apple and say, well, look, Apple's able to push out updates. Mm-hmm. Why can't you? That's because they're Apple. They have 50% of the market. Every carrier wants an iPhone. And that's the deal. You want an iPhone? Fine. Yeah. But we're going to push updates.
Google
could do it
that.
If Google were the only source of Android phones, but there are so many sources. No one has enough market share. Maybe Samsung, but I don't think so. And Samsung, for some reason, doesn't. I bet you Samsung could go to the carriers and say, "No, you know what? They can't. They can't say you want to carry a Samsung phone. You better make us allow it."
Yeah,
but they don't.
I don't think they care.
They don't care,
to be honest.
Yeah.
Google cares because it reflects poorly on them.
The other issue, I guess I'd say, with, you know, Samsung versus Apple is Samsung might outsell Apple. Yes, they certainly do worldwide.
Very
the United
close.
States,
yeah.
I bet they don't. But if you were to compare the mix of Samsung's devices in the United States versus Apple's, a lot more lower-end devices go out through Samsung. Yeah. And I just don't think they have that
carriers
kind of
carriers can't
market
say
power.
No to Apple. Yeah. They just can't. It's obvious. Right.
Yeah, the starting price of an Apple device is, $650, $750.
And you don't want the $650 phone.
No.
That's the 16 gigabyte. You have to spend $750.
Starting price of a Samsung device is zero.
Yeah, right. It is.
No, it is. I mean,
to be fair, you could get an old iPhone for zero as well, whatever the...
You absolutely could. No, my point is that more people will do the cheap version on Samsung than will do it on Apple. And that's what provides Apple in part with their power.
So somebody in the chat room said, wasn't the point of Windows 10 Mobile that Microsoft could give you updates? Wasn't that kind of part of
it? I wouldn't call it the point. But, you know, you need to understand that nothing has changed in the sense that phones still have to operate on these networks. We see it in this Verizon thing we just talked about. So you can buy an unlocked phone from Microsoft. The theory is you should be able to get updates directly from Microsoft as soon as they're released. So if you buy it from Microsoft, this is, again, theoretically, because nothing seems to work like this in the real world. You should be getting these things up to date, even if you're on AT&T and even if AT&T has decided not to deploy that update on the network. We'll see how that goes. We've never really had a truly unlocked Windows Phone buying experience here in the United States.
So this is the first time you could buy it from Microsoft Direct?
Okay. Yeah. As recently as 6 months ago, I bought a Lumia 930 unlocked. You know, it's factory unlocked, I guess carrier unlocked. But that thing still has a country code associated with it, right? So my phone happens to come from Thailand or the Philippines, maybe Thailand. I've talked to other people that have 930s that, you know, they're from different – Hong Kong was one. They're from different places. So how do I get updates on this thing? I get them according to when they go out in that locale, whatever the main carrier is for Thailand. They decide or don't decide to release updates.
Why can't they do it over Wi-Fi, though? Why does it have to go through the carrier?
Because I know. Of course they can. But I think the issue is that you're still going to be using the device on the carrier's network. So legally or contractually, you're using a device that is unapproved, that does unapproved things that they don't know anything about on their network, and they don't allow that. It doesn't matter how it's installed, right? It's how it's used.
But the Google Nexus phones also sold unlocked.
Yep, I know.
Google updates those.
Right. And so there's the proof and the theory. Google does it. So if you buy the phones from Microsoft, you should be okay. But again, we have to speak theoretically. No one has bought such a phone yet from Microsoft, so right. We don't really know how it's going to go.
We don't know. It may be the case that if you buy an unlocked phone from Microsoft as opposed to a carrier, that you will get updates. Or do you know for a fact that's not going to happen?
Well, their wording around this is very wishy-washy, right? They're not saying directly, like, we will get you the updates. They've never said that. They've hinted around, and there's been source reports saying that this is the plan. But Microsoft has never said on the record, we will do this, and this is how we will do it.
No, they won't.
So we don't
right.
really
but
know.
But what they have said, the statement that my article is based on, is an almost word-for-word copy of what they said when Windows Phone 8.1 came out, when Windows Phone 7 series came out. It's exactly, you know, we work with our carrier partners to ensure that we have the best experience. You're bowing down before the carrier because you have to.
Except you can still get around it through the developer channel, right?
Yes, like right.
That's your out. If you're savvy enough to know how to do that, you could go and get the builds by registering as a developer.
So, yeah, you can. Now, of course, when you do that, you're taking a risk, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've started on my 930. It just, I don't have a start screen, right? I mean, these insider builds are not like keep me up to date on the latest version of the OS, although I guess you could do a slow ring thing. It's really about testing new features, and features are not delivered as features. They're delivered as new builds. And so it's kind of an onerous process. It's time consuming. It's proven to be very unreliable on phone, which has not been the case on PCs. And that needs to be, it's certainly an option. And I think for the limited audience that we have for Windows 10 Mobile or Windows phones, it is an option, but, it's not like the answer. It's, a workaround.
Why is it a good idea?
Because the alternative is Windows Phone just goes away.
Oh.
In other words, Microsoft could have just quit, but instead they're going to focus on some core markets. The one that is interesting to us now and pertains to these two phones is enthusiasts. And so the people who for the past year have been complaining that we haven't seen any flagships will now get their first flagship on AT&T in literally 2 years. The last one was the 1520, November 2013, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a long time. I get that leaves out some Verizon people, like Mary Jo and others. And I get also that some of those people are forced to use Verizon because of work, or in Mary Jo's case, because it works better where she lives. And that's completely understandable. But the unfortunate reality is that AT&T, I want to be clear, too, because it's not like they were awesome for Windows Phone. But by being the least bad of the really bad carriers here in the United States, they have gotten some kind of exclusivity thing going. But at least you can buy them directly from Microsoft. Unlocked.
They'll
work internationally.
Did, which I think is brilliant. They did their own MVNO. They just said, good, well, for enthusiasts, we will offer Nexus devices on our own Google Fi.
I was literally told Universal Radios. I really thought that meant Universal. I have an understanding of what that word means. I've looked at what Google has done with Nexus and what Apple just did with the iPhone and offering it directly to consumers. And I thought, this is all coming together. Microsoft's going to do the same thing. And who knows, maybe in the following months, they can improve things and whatever. But, day one, it's not going to be ideal. But again, not ideal is better than over, And these are great phones. We saw them at that event. They're beautiful.
They're really nice. They are.
Yeah.
I would love
to
have them on Verizon.
Yeah.
So will you just stick with your icon, Mary Jo, or what are you going to do?
So I think what I'm going to do is stick with my icon for now and by next year, if I haven't heard, I'd say by the first half of next year, if I haven't heard Microsoft has a phone coming that will work on Verizon, I'm going to have a choice maybe going to Android. Android.
Leo, can we add another edit point to the video, please?
Okay.
Nice. It just comes back and Mary Jo's gone.
My choice is tough because I really want to stay on Verizon.
You wouldn't consider
all
an
my
iPhone?
Other networking is there. I really don't want to be part of the Apple world. Like, in any way, shape, or form.
I can respect that statement.
No, actually, you know, contact me before you buy. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the new Google Nexus is the 5X and the 6P will probably be a great choice for you, Mary.
I have several Nexus devices that are older than the new ones, but the only thing I have with Android is it's never right. You know, the Apple for all of Apple's stuff, and I hear you on the Apple thing. They really do have the cleanest, best experience, and the Microsoft app experience is obviously great, but it's great on both platforms. Android is always, you know, it doesn't have the one thing, or this one doesn't have the one thing, or you know, it's so inconsistent to me.
At this point, the only one thing I would acknowledge is battery life. The iPhone 6S Plus, you'd have to get the big one. I don't know how you feel about the larger screens, but that thing goes all day without breaking a sweat. Sure. And I mean all day doing all sorts of stuff. And I have to say, that is a very strong argument. No Android phone right now. None of this year's phones will do that. But I'm hopeful that with Marshmallow and with the new Nexuses, which have the Nexus 6P has a giant battery, 3450 milliamp hours, it will. And that I'll tell you what, if it does, I'll let you know. I don't know if you care, Mary Jo, because you seem pretty much housebound.
Am I?
No, just kidding.
That's true. The attraction of getting off Verizon for me is when I go outside the country.
T-Mobile
or
Free International.
But then when you're in New York, the best service is Verizon. Definitely Verizon.
Yeah,
and
9X.
I'm in New York more than not.
Right. How is T-Mobile in New York? Is it okay?
People say not the best.
Yeah.
I haven't used T-Mobile here for years, so I haven't used it recently.
Well, okay, you should try it. And Sprint, which is pretty universally bad, was bought by SoftBank, and they're investing billions in new infrastructure. So by the time you do this, it may well be Sprint is a good choice in New York City. The nice thing about T-Mobile in many markets is there used to be not very many other people using it.
Yeah,
so in Petaluma, T-Mobile is amazing. Mm. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you go outside of the city, it's, you know, in the country, it's not so good. And New York City, 9X, Verizon bought 9X, was 9X. That was a New York City carrier. Mm. So, of course, they have more cell towers than anybody else.
Yeah.
I've had great results on AT&T.
They're very good, too. And I'm sure they're fine in New York.
I've recently used a loaner phone with AT&T here, and it drops sometimes, like when I've been walking between buildings or in tunnels, places like that.
That's the kind of thing that, having been an incumbent for so long, Verizon's going to win.
They probably
put stuff in the tunnels and all sorts of stuff.
And all my other networking at home is on Verizon, too. Like, everything else I have is Verizon.
Yeah, see? You're kind of locked in.
I'm kind of locked in. And you know what makes me not totally freaking out about this is Microsoft apps on Android are pretty good.
Right.
So.
They're best on iOS.
iPhone too.
They're best on iOS, I would say. Right.
Mm. But iOS for me is just not in my starter. Future.
No, I don't. It's a closed system. iOS works best when you're all Apple. Absolutely.
Sure. Microsoft does have the opportunity to impact Android in ways that are impossible with iPhone. And we see this in all kinds of ways. There's talk now of a phone dialer from Microsoft for Android. I don't know if we have that in the notes later, but the notification or lock screens.
Yeah.
Cortana integration. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, actually, I think on that note, you could make a case.
Yeah, because of Cortana. You have Cortana. Actually, the best Windows phone is probably Android.
Hmm.
Well. All right, Leo. Can we please have an edit point?
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Sorry I said that. I'm sorry.
Break point.
The four editors are now going crazy. Did you want to edit that? No.
Just like, we're just going to, you know, the boy that cried wolf. We're just going to ignore all of your edit point requests.
Surface. I'm still very excited. Now, let me ask a couple of questions about the Surface Book.
Mm-hmm.
Will I get it on the 26th or will they ship it on the 26th?
Right.
Well, I think you can go into stores and
No,
buy
but I ordered it, so.
Yeah.
Well, we won't know.
Okay. That's unclear. I mean, assuming the availability is there, I would assume you're going to get it on that day.
The way Apple does it is, yeah, you get
a shipment notification.
Right.
Days ahead, yeah.
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 Because I'm excited. Yeah. Do we know? Now, there are four models, and only the top two have a discrete graphics chip, the NVIDIA graphics chip. Mm-hmm. I think you know more about that now, right?
Right. We know that it's a custom NVIDIA chip that they built for Microsoft or with Microsoft. It's in the Maxwell architecture line.
Oh, yeah. You said that last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing new to report then.
Yeah. So, no, we know that. But beyond that, we don't know too much more, I don't think.
There is one new bit of information. It's just sort of a confirmation of something that should have been pretty obvious from the get-go. And that is that if you buy a Surface Book without that chip in the base, they're not going to sell a version of the base with it and allow you to add it later. You have to get
it. Somebody asked that last week. Yeah,
they did ask that. Yeah.
They have confirmed that they are not doing that.
That would be silly. Why 3 hours in the clipboard? Why 3 hours of battery life in the clipboard? The detachable tablet seems
because it would have been top heavy if they put too much battery in the top.
And also, they acknowledge people aren't really using that much, right?
Okay.
Yeah. It's a laptop.
This is a laptop.
Right? Yeah. Remember, you know, with Surface Pro or Surface in general, the tagline has been the tablet that can replace your laptop. This time around, I think it's just the ultimate laptop, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It is, I think they describe the instances where you would pop off the screen and use it as a clipboard. Not as a tablet, by the way, right? As a clipboard. Is 20% or 30% of the time, it's a low number. For me, it would be even lower. I pretty much would just use it as a laptop. In fact, if they just made a laptop, you know, which is really what we've been talking about, you know, for a long time, right. I'd be happy to own such a device. But it's not a tablet.
I think that's going to be a good thing.
And remember, you know, if you're on a plane, I mean, one of the big use cases for tablets has been you're in kind of a cramped coach seat and the guy in front of you puts the seat back and you can't open your laptop. Remember, you can flip the screen around, pop it back on the base, and now the keyboard part is going back from you and you can have the screen open in front of you and you get the benefit of all the battery life because it's connected. So it's still going to work in that scenario. It will still be better than a laptop. In that scenario.
And then, you can't totally decouple it from the base and then use the keyboard separately over Bluetooth.
Okay, that's good to know.
Right?
Right. It's not Bluetooth. Right.
It connects
to the Surface connector. Yep. It's a pass.
I've had people ask me that too.
Good question. So. Yep. good question.
You can connect the power to just the tablet if you want because it's the same connector. So normally that's hidden because it's inside the part that's connected. But that Surface connector, as we're now calling it, goes into the side of the keyboard base, but it also goes into the bottom of the tablet.
So I could use the tablet forever.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Connected. Tethered, yeah. Yep.
I'm thinking for drawing and stuff like that. And of course, you can always flip it around and close it, and that would also give you the 12-hour battery life.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Some publications were worried about the clothespin. You know, it's an opening. It's not, you know, because of that hinge, the articulated hinge, you don't have.
I asked those guys about this. And what's that guy's name? Stevie?
Batiche.
The gigantic version of Panos Panay. I asked
Batiche.
Him, right? They look like brothers, right? Yeah. If you just admit they look exactly like brothers. Except Panos is normally sized and this other guy is freakishly big. Stevie Batiche?
Batiche,
great guy. He's a great guy. He's kind of one of the design geniuses behind Surface or engineer geniuses. And, you know, I asked him about that and, you know, are you worried about this and stuff getting in there and everything? And he's, you know, with the understanding that these guys are design perfectionists, you know, surely version two of this thing will sit flat. Yeah, yeah. And he says, no, not really.
Yeah.
You know? Well, one benefit is you don't get, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I often do, the imprint of the keys on the screen.
Yes, yes.
Because it's closed and the keys are touching the screen.
Yeah.
And that's why when you get a new laptop, there's almost always is something, you know, in between.
Right. Unless you own a Mac.
It does it on a Mac. It definitely does it on a Mac. And it's one of the issues on a Mac.
So the key,
at no point do the keys touch the screen on the new Surface Book. Even the lowest
row. I'm not sure.
I looked all the way.
Oh, you could see. Okay.
It looked like it.
Oh, you could. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay. I don't think it's fair to pretend that that's why it's designed that way, but it pretend. Is. If that's true, it's a happy circumstance. Yeah.
No, they said last week it was because the hinge is open like that because of the way it has to unfurl so it doesn't tip
over. It
makes
it more
stable.
I like that idea. Right. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
And as you know, Mary Jo, with your Asus S7. Mm-hmm. Acer S7. It is a little tippy.
Yeah.
And did you get the touch version?
I did.
So a lot of times when you touch it, you push it over.
I love the shaking head of disgust that followed that admission.
I wanted to get it without touch.
Oh.
But I did not.
I am excited.
You know, I don't care about the touch.
I am excited about the touch. I think I'm going to draw pictures.
Nice.
I think for a teacher, admittedly, it's expensive, but for a teacher... you know, you could have it, you could project it on the screen and then you could illustrate with it. I feel like this is a really interesting,
I also think you get used to it. You know, on that Lenovo, I was talking about the little $200 job, there's no touch, you know, and one of the things I wanted to check was whether there was crapware in the start menu and, you know, and of course I'm tapping the screen. Like, what's it doing? It's not, you know, it's not.
Well, you see me do that with a Dell. You know, when I'm showing you the Dell, I'll often touch. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, especially in a presentation mode, it feels like a very natural way to work.
I just am a mouse person. I've just come to that realization. Mm-hmm. I hook a mouse up to everything. It's just much more precise and then no fingerprints on the screen.
You may be a mouse.
So oh, no, I don't recommend using touch in lieu of a touchpad or a mouse, but as just a convenience, you know.
It's a nice extra thing to have, I think, yeah.
I use it. I mean, I don't use it a lot, but I do use it.
Do you want to take a little break? Let's, shall we? And talk about the Ring Video doorbell. I think everybody should have one of these. Even you in an apartment, Mary Jo, you would really appreciate this. And the nice thing is, if you don't have, and most apartments don't have, wired doorbells, you could actually just put this, mount this on your door. You charge it up once a year, and then you could and the thing is, there's a little doorbell sound. They have a separate unit that you could put in the house that would ring the doorbell. But, of course, you put this on your Wi-Fi, and now your devices ring. Your Android and iOS devices ring whenever somebody rings the doorbell or even when somebody comes near. So let me launch the Ring app and I'll show you. And this is great. And by the way, you can have it on as many devices as you want. So I have it on everything because now I never miss a doorbell. So let's see. Yesterday afternoon was the last most recent activity out front. This is motion. So it has a high-def wide-angle camera on it. It has a microphone. It also has a speaker on it, so you can see there's a car going by. It was the garbage trucks coming. So I know exactly when they came. When my daughter leaves at 2 in the morning, I know. I know. I don't have to wait up anymore.
Sometimes it's best not to know.
Yeah, you may not want to know. And then when somebody rings your doorbell, even if you're not home, anywhere, like right now, I'm on the internet, I will get a ding, ding, ding on my phone. And then I can answer it. I can accept it. And I say, hey, yeah, what's up? Got a package for you. I am in the bathtub. Could you just leave it? Okay. Or, and this is really the most valuable point about this, is unfortunately, it's when you're at work during the day that the bad guys come and rob your house. About 95% of all home burglaries occur during the day. And, of course, what do they do before they go in? They ring your doorbell. Now, when they ring your doorbell, you can answer and say, yeah, no, thank you. Go away. And they will go away because they don't want to break in while you're there. But you're not there. The motion alert allows you to set what zones and how wide angle it is. So you can see everything going on or just what's on your front porch. I just love this. It is. Now, it doesn't unlock the door. I want to make that clear. Here's what you would get, Mary Jo, the little ding chime. So you put that on a plug socket anywhere in your house. And now you know when somebody's at your doorbell, you can see them without getting up. I think it's wonderful. Ring.com/WW, and you will get free FedEx shipping, because I know you want this right away. You might say, oh, I'm not very handy. I'm not very handy. But they give you everything you need in the kit to install, including the screwdrivers, a level, the bits. Everything you need is right there, which is, I think, very nice. They really, they've done this right. Ring.com/WW. Go there for free FedEx shipping so you can get it overnight. And I tell you what, you're going to love this so much. I love it so much, I actually want to put one now on my bedroom door so that when the kid comes to the door, I can...
the axe-wielding man.
What are you doing in there? What are you doing? I can say, go away! I'm taking a nap. Ring video doorbell, one of the top 10 gadgets of 2014, according to Time Magazine. And I will vouch for it. We love it. Ring.com/WW. Go right now to get your free shipping. All right, now I got to put this all back because the whole thing, I dumped the box out. The whole thing. I got to find the screwdriver and the whole thing. All right, moving right along. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about windows. Let's see. We covered Surface. How about new stuff on the band?
Yeah, I was looking back. There's not too much we didn't know last week about the band, except Microsoft released this week an SDK for the band. They updated the band SDK so that it supports Band 2. And I forget who it was. Somebody discovered that there was some kind of PDF bar tracking kind of thing, which I've had people speculate might mean that at some point the band too can start doing things like holding your boarding pass and gym membership club cards and things like
that's
that.
That's a really handy thing on the
it
Apple
would be.
Watch. I really like that.
Yeah. I tried to check on my last JetBlue flight using the Apple Watch, but my hand wouldn't fit under the thing because it's really just a thin little.
They have to adjust.
Yeah, he said
those.
You could take it off your wrist if you want to. And
then
I'm like,
it doesn't work. No, then it doesn't work, which is really
frustrating. Right, of course, yeah.
The Apple Watch, that's one thing Apple did not think about. You can do that with an Android watch, but Apple, because once you take it off, it's locks.
Right.
Sure.
It's really a pain in the butt.
And Microsoft did also cut the price of the current band. Yesterday it was $99, I think. Today it's $129.
Who would buy that?
$99
really?
Was the price you can't refuse. That's not bad.
Yeah but I don't know if I would buy it. I wasn't keen on
band. Wouldn't you want the new one?
I wouldn't recommend. I mean, if you know, like a bigger guy or whatever, it's bulky and all that kind of stuff. But you know, $99. I mean, you could wear that thing for a year and see what the next one looks like. Whatever. Right. I mean, it pretty much does everything.
What size should I get? The small, medium, and large. What do you have?
So they actually have a PDF you can download, and they'll tell you exactly the right size because the sizing changed between the versions. So you may be a size lower, depending on the size of your wrist, than you were before. They're bigger sizes than they were before.
Does it have to fit tightly, or can it be kind of loose?
I don't think it does. I tried on the band when we were at the event last week. I took a medium, and it was loose on me, but it was still registering stuff.
Yep. I take a large, obviously, but on the original band, it was very tight, so it was kind of on the biggest possible size with the clasp. And on the new version, it's... I actually had to tighten it a bit. It's, you know, it's bigger.
Yeah.
So now I know what normal people feel like. It's so nice.
All right. Anything else to say about that? It's coming out end of the October 30th, right?
End of October.
Yeah.
But this is where I inserted the thing about Raphael and HoloLens.
He tried it for the first time.
Yeah, so he's been talking about this for a while. He went today to try out HoloLens, and obviously I said to him, listen, I need you to be as honest as possible when you see this thing. I don't want you to confirm that what I've been saying, because people really have been dumping on me for this. I think people just want to believe it's better than it is. And I said, just be as honest as possible. Don't conform to whatever I've said. Just tell it like it is. I really I want to hear it because, you know, look, they could have fixed it. They could have changed it since the last time I saw it. I'm not, you know, I don't get everything right. I mean, at my end, you know, I have my take on it, whatever. And he, unfortunately, he has completely verified everything I said about it. I mean, really small field of view. And that's the problem, you know. And the thing I will say, and he would agree, and I think Mary Jo would agree as well, everyone who's used it would probably agree, inside that field of view, the ability of the holograms to kind of latch on to real-life objects is amazing. Like, they really feel like they're there. The problem is, you know, it's a little viewport. And, it, you know, sadly, he has basically verified what I've been saying, which is that they have not fixed this.
Is it possible that they will have by next quarter?
I know. That's what I wonder, because it's not coming out. The SDK isn't till next year, Q1.
So there's a reason consumers aren't rushing out to Toys R Us this Christmas to buy HoloLens. It's not ready for that kind of application. So I think the initial applications are going to be very vertically oriented, very special. You know, it's going to be hands-on stuff. I sort of likened it in the past to the way that Microsoft used to sell Data Center, the version of Windows Server. It wasn't something you went into like Costco and bought. You had to get it with approved hardware from approved partners. They would go on site. They would help you get the thing installed properly. I think HoloLens initially for the next year, it's going to be like that. It's not going to be, you know, something you buy at Amazon.com.
It might not be till 2017 that it's a consumer product.
Yeah, so we'll see. It can only get better. And what I will say is, if they figure out that field of view thing, the actual hologram thing is awesome. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I just think the problem is, back in April or whatever, people got really excited about it and were thinking, Christmas this year, I'm going to buy this thing. And it's on a much more of a slow boil than that.
They are, though, doing a HoloLens roadshow throughout October and November in a bunch of U.S. cities. So check the HoloLens site.
Yeah, go check it out.
You can go check it out and sign up and check it out. Take part in the demo so you can check it out yourself.
Yeah, look at it. It is the technology is amazing. They're very proud of the fact that this thing is a fully detached, you know, not tethered hologram thing, or it's really augmented reality, but. I don't know that distinction is meaningful. I think most people are going to use it in a room alone, like they do with Kinect or whatever, and it could be tethered and it would be great, and maybe that would help with the field of view. I don't really know, but you know, it can only get better. And I presume before there's a consumer application of this, that the field of view will improve. It has to.
Yeah, I still a believer, and I don't think it'll be next year. I think, that we got a ways to go.
Yep.
I do think it's unfair of Microsoft to show those full screen demos.
That they're still doing that is unconscionable.
This is not what you'll see, but they don't. It's like they're still showing.
But they do this demo that looks like stuff's happening on the stage, and it's like, guys, you got to stop doing that. Yeah. It's that guy is looking through like a mail slot at these things. He's not seeing them all around. He's only seeing them right in the middle. It's too bad they do that.
Unless they feel like that's what the consumer product's going to end up looking like. Isn't it just really about having enough hardware to drive a fuller screen?
I don't know.
I mean, they got the whole computer in a visor, for crying out loud.
That's impressive, but it's also, you know, really constraining your view. I mean, Google Glasses, as ludicrous as it was, didn't prevent you from seeing, you know, well, it doesn't prevent you from seeing the outside world. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, it's a different kind of thing because it's putting objects on real world objects according to your vision. And when you can only see those things in a really limited area, it really constrains the experience. You know, it's not like you have a little computer display up in the corner and it's fine. It's only like a limited field of view for that thing because it's a little. That's what it's doing. But this thing is really interacting with reality visually. And it's, you know, it's not a great experience when they're cutting off a lot of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I'm glad Raph verified that.
Yeah. I am too.
And by the way, this is going to be a big category. And same thing with VR. It's not going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
This is all very speculative, and we just, because of Kickstarter and Oculus Rift, and I don't know, we're seeing a lot of this stuff, but it's still, I mean, even the Rift is a long way off still, I think.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly they're going to start selling it next quarter. We'll see.
It's going to be really nice for people that want to throw up.
You know, I watched
on and play
the
a game of Quake.
I watched the Democratic debate last night in virtual reality.
See, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really? Using what?
The Gear VR with my Samsung phone. CNN did a it was at first, before the debate begins, I was a little nervous because the view was in the very back of the room. In fact, I think people didn't understand what that funny-looking camera was, because I could look down. I could see a guy. He was on his phone. I could see what he was doing on his phone. I could look.
So is it literally like you're in other words, you can kind of pan around?
Yeah, it's like you're standing there. You're looking around. Look to my left. The camera guy's there. He's kind of, you know, chewing some gum, going, but we were in the first camera was way in the back, and I thought, oh, I hope it's not like this. But no, they had cameras all over. So, and what's kind of fun is that you're seeing a view that you don't see on TV. You're seeing the behind the scenes. So I'm watching the Steadicam operator. He's standing right there. He goes by me. There's Sheryl Crow. She's tucking in her shirt as she gets ready to come out and sing. You know, I saw Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton making out. It was amazing.
Right.
No, I didn't see that part. I didn't see that part.
Oh, that sounds like quite the debate.
For a debate, I'll tell you why it's interesting for a debate. Because you can, instead of waiting for the director to show you a reaction shot, you can see all the participants and you can look around. You can look at who you want to. What is Bernie thinking about what Hillary's saying right now? You can see him. So it was kind of interesting for that reason. On the other hand, I can only do about 15 minutes before I got sick to my stomach. And I don't know if it was what they were saying or the VR. But
We'll try it with the Republicans next time.
I just was surprised that they did this.
Yeah.
And it's, I want to do it here. It's a really interesting experience because you don't get 180 degrees, 360 degrees. You get 180 degrees.
You're kind of in the audience.
Definitely in the audience.
Yeah. That's cool. I think that's really neat. I didn't even realize this was available.
I didn't until,
is this on Windows Phone, Leo?
No, it is.
It's not on Windows Phone.
Please, please have an edit point.
No, it's on. In fact, it's only on a very limited subset of Android phones. It's a Samsung.
Sure.
Galaxy Note 5, Galaxy Note 4, the Galaxy S6, and you have to have the particular visor that fits it. But the new one that they're coming out with, the $99 visor, will fit a variety of devices. And the ViewMaster, which is really cool, the new Mattel ViewMaster will work with almost any phone. It has as long as you can run the VR stuff on the cardboard. And I don't know if cardboard's available for Windows Phone. Probably not.
Yeah.
It's available on iOS.
Their own cardboard.
Microsoft's kind of making their own thing, supposedly.
We're actually starting to get to a point where this is viable. For a debate, it's perfect because you want to see all what's going on. You don't want to be limited by what the director chooses to show you.
It'd be
fun
cool
for a baseball game.
Events like that Microsoft Devices event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Oculus did do a VR version of their keynote. But it was just limited to the stage, and it was kind of it was one perspective from the center stage. You need to have a bunch of cameras, and that's what the CNN did do that. There were at least three or four cameras, so you had a variety of perspectives.
Nice.
Anyway. I'm sorry, I have to keep looking over at this Microsoft Word document.
Sorry about that.
Well, why? So we still don't know what's going on. Is OneNote up now?
No, this has been, I haven't looked at it recently, but this has been, like I said, this has been a problem since last week.
Is this related
since yesterday.
To the office issues that they've been having? Aren't there other services down?
Yeah. Right. There are some other services that are having problems. I did a little post today about this because I've been getting a lot of queries from people about things pertaining to OneDrive and Office, and people are saying, is this broken for everyone? Is it just broken for me? So I'll just give you a couple that have been coming up a lot. In the past few days, a lot of people have been talking about OneDrive automatically disconnecting from their devices. I've gotten that question on Twitter bunch. You had it too?
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft says it's now been fixed and that you should repeat the login process, and the issue has now been fixed. That was as of yesterday, I think.
And that's why monkey123 is my new Microsoft password.
See?
Truth in advertising.
The other one I get a lot is Office 2016 for Mac still broken for people running Mac OS X El Capitan?
No, You know, it's funny you said that, and then I said it on Mac Break Weekly, and everybody said, no, it works fine.
It's still not everybody that's impacted.
Yep.
Microsoft's answer is, we know there are people who are still having this problem, and we're working with Apple towards a resolution, but we have no ETA. So it's only for some, not for everyone.
I'm still using Office 2011, so.
Yeah.
And then I've also had a few people having problems with OneDrive for Business and Office 2016 for Windows. When they installed Office 2016 for Windows and then that new update for with the new sync engine for OneDrive for Business, suddenly they couldn't see OneDrive anymore, or they couldn't get it to sync, even more than normal, more syncing issues. And Microsoft says they know this is happening for a subset of customers and they're working on a fix. They will post the fix in the Office 2016 forums when they have it. So if you're one of those unfortunate people having that issue, it's they know and it's coming.
Skype for Business for iOS now available. What is that?
That's probably enough for the, on that topic.
I know. It's Skype for Business is the name for Link.
Ah.
The new name.
So it's never been on iOS before.
They had a preview
Link
version.
Was there. Oh,
right. There was a Link client for iOS. This is the updated Skype for Business client. It was in preview a month or so ago, and now it's generally available free from the iTunes store. If you're already running Link on iOS, you'll automatically be upgraded to Skype.
If you have
for
an
Business.
iPhone. If you have, if you have an iPad, you still have to manually download it for some reason. Yeah, okay. I don't know why. And then the Android version is coming at the end of the year or later in the year.
Mm-hmm. And like Mac version, which people keep asking about, is not till next year. It originally was going to be this year, and now it's next year.
Oh, did they delay that?
Yep.
That's good.
My guess on the iPad iPhone thing is it's an iPhone app. Mm-hmm. If you do a search on an iPad for an app, you can't find it if you're searching iPad apps. Just switch over to iPhone apps. You'll see it, install it. It'll work fine. It just isn't an iPad app.
So supposedly with this release, it's a universal app, but I bet they were separate apps before, and that might be what happened.
Oh, okay. If it's universal, then everything I just said is wrong.
It just, but that might, I think that's new. I think now it's a universal app. I don't think it was before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Microsoft buys Havok.
I know. I can't remember. It was so long ago. Did we talk about
I don't think we talked about this.
I don't think so. This is a gaming engine.
Yeah.
That Intel owned. Probably got it when they acquired ATI. I don't know.
I can't really imagine why Intel owned Havok, but they did.
It's not a full bore engine, right? It's like is it a physics engine? I'm trying to remember.
Physics engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, physics engine.
I'm saying those words like I actually know what that means.
It was an Irish company.
You know, in the first-person shooters that you often play, Mary Jo?
Yeah, you know those?
When a body crumples to the ground realistically based on what the ground looks like?
Right. Collision detection something.
Yep.
Well, it's just, you know, physics engine means that the physics of particles and fog.
Yeah, they react as if they would in the real world.
Real, yeah. It doesn't give you a whole game, but it's an important part of gaming. And this is an engine used in a lot of games. So,
Well, what's really interesting to me from this is it says we're going to be using the Havok technology to enhance tools and platforms, including DirectX 12, Visual Studio, and Azure.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Cloud gaming. Remember they were talking about streaming games from the cloud?
Right. Maybe. I'm dubious about that.
Well, you know, if you're doing HoloLens, one of the things you probably want in there is an accurate simulation of real world physics. I don't know. That doesn't seem so.
Right.
It's not the same thing, but I will say that the HoloLens's ability to make the holograms look like they're really there in the real world is sort of like what we're describing from a physics end.
If, you know, something falls off your mantelpiece, it has to fall in a naturalistic way.
Yeah. And, you know, if it's a ball, it will roll off a table, roll off of a thing, you know, keep going on the floor.
I can see why. Yeah. Microsoft and Asus are in a truce.
Yeah. That rhymes.
Hey, what were they fighting over?
Remember, right before Microsoft did their devices event, there were all these people speculating Microsoft and Google were going to be on stage together. And one of the reasons they did was Microsoft's been on a patent licensing tear again. They did a deal with Google where they settled all these Android patent disputes and other patent disputes. They just completely settled them. We didn't know the terms. So people were speculating that Microsoft and Google had made nice and Google would be doing apps for Windows 10. Well, that hasn't happened. But Microsoft's doing more and more of these deals where it's like trading things. So with Asus, they're signing a patent deal so that Asus is paying Microsoft for alleged possible infringements on Microsoft's patents. At the same time, Microsoft's going to have their apps be on Asus's devices that are running Android. So Office apps coming to Asus devices like they have been with Samsung and other companies. So very interesting. Lots of trading going on now around patent stuff with Microsoft, not just trying to take the money and run.
Wonder if Apple's going to trade with the, was it University of Wisconsin?
I know. That was so weird.
Almost a billion, $872 million patent infringement lawsuit when it went the wrong way against Apple.
So the interesting side story to that is that Intel was also sued by the same organization and they settled.
Oh, really?
Which is what Intel did with antitrust in the EU. So it seems like Intel has learned the lesson of antitrust. And Apple in the United States always tries to fight everything. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of those things over time they're going to come to understand that the, you know, we patented the hell out of it. You need to take into account like prior use as well. You know, like there's a bunch of stuff that they patented for the iPhone that wasn't really theirs. Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to invalidate the patent and they failed. I know a little bit about this from, you know, when there was the patent troll and the podcast thing, and we spent a lot of time consulting with a patent attorney and all that. And in most cases, what a patent troll or, you know, I don't know if this is a patent troll. This is maybe a legitimate patent on the University of Wisconsin. But most of the time, what they'll do is ask for a licensing fee that is slightly below what the cost of litigating would be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Intel or somebody will just, you know, the accountants will go, well, you could fight it, but you might lose, in which case you will not only spend the court costs to fight it, but you could be paying damages like $1 billion. So if all they're asking for is half a billion, you should probably just pay it. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
And Apple,
I think, has unlimited funds for one thing, and they probably are willing to take a moral stand to kind of fight for these things.
We could have gone either way, too. I mean, I probably would have fought it because the patent troll was asking us for something like $2 million, which is considerably more than fighting it would have been, like twice as much.
Sure.
So I would have fought it. But Apple lawyers might have said, you know what? This is a no-brainer. We go to the patent office because one of the quick and fast and cheap ways to do this is to try to get the patent invalidated. You go to the patent office. It's an inter partes thing, and that's what they call it. And the patent office can just invalidate it, which is, in fact, what happened with the podcast patent. Mm. But Apple did do that and lost. Then you're in trouble because now if you do go to trial, that's the point where you settle. Because now if you go to trial, the attorney for the other side says to the jury, well, Apple did try to invalidate this patent, but you know what? The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office said, no, it's a good patent.
Right.
And the only reason I'm talking like this is because usually these trials are in Texas.
Yep. South Texas.
Yeah. And they, in fact, they get good old, usually get good old boy lawyers that the local jury really identifies.
Right,
with.
Right. Look. Now, I'm not a big city lawyer.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and then he like kind of does the thing with his suspenders.
But I got to tell you, when I see a little man like this be taken on by big corporations.
Yeah, but I do
like
have a notion of right and wrong.
I do know what's right and wrong. And I know you do too, good people of Tyler, Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, apparently it worked. 800 and some billion, million dollars. But let's put it this way. Chicken to feed to Apple. They got cash on hand to take care of it. So, anyway, it gave me a chance to do my Tyler, Texas, my Matt.
Now we have to talk about Soma Chameleon.
What is Soma? What the heck is that?
We have to say something about this. Soma Sagar, the much beloved head of Microsoft's developer division, is leaving the company. Aww. He's been there 27 years.
Wow.
Yep.
He worked on 8 versions of Windows, and then he ran the developer division. He was a big champion of open source at Microsoft. He's moving on to the next phase of his career, which we don't know what that is at this point. But it's funny, you know, when you write stories about people leaving a company and usually you see some people saying, oh, good, glad that guy's out of there. This one, every single person who saw it was like, no.
Eight releases of Windows.
I know. He's been there a while.
I'm thinking he's retiring. I would.
The way that was worded about his departure makes me think he's going on to do something else.
Another job.
Yep.
Wow.
Pursue the next phase of his career.
Have we heard anything about who's going to replace him yet, or is that still not known?
We have not. We've heard that they're working on the transition plan. Okay. That's all.
The guy's got to be worth.
I wonder if this was a surprise for them as well.
I know.
He's got to be worth so much money. He's probably, you know, in his late 50s, right? He's been there for 27 years. Maybe he's early 50s.
I think his Wikipedia, his Wikipedia page says late 40s, I think.
Late 40s. So he went there out of college. He was a kid.
Like the Charles Barkley of Microsoft employees.
Okay. Sorry to lose you, Soma Sagar.
Very sad.
Yeah, he looks like a nice guy.
Great guy.
Nice smile. We'll say that about you too, Paul.
What's that? I had a great smile.
He seemed like such a nice guy. Who knew? Who knew he had such... He was so troubled.
Sure. Actually, my troubles are not going to be a surprise to anybody. He seemed like a troubled man.
He just hauled off and hit that clerk.
I sort of assume he sat there in his office and just kept talking, even when the podcast wasn't happening.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, the back of the book, including beer, picks, that kind of thing. But first, a word from Wealthfront. I love Wealthfront. I love the idea of Wealthfront. I can't use Wealthfront, which makes me insanely jealous of you, because you can. SEC regulations prohibit customers from doing endorsements. So when Wealthfront came on board and I learned about it, I said, well, this is fantastic. I need this. And they said, too bad, Leo. You can't do it. Here's the idea. Look, you should be saving for long term. Whether it's, you know, buying a house, rainy day fund, retirement, in fact, maybe all three. But the problem is, who's going to manage that money? Are you? I always say, oh, yeah. And then I don't look at it for years. And of course, it's completely out of balance and messed up. Because you do need to monitor your investments at least quarterly. Or you can do what a lot of people do and hire an advisor. But those guys charge huge fees, like between 1 and 3% of what you have under management, plus hidden fees for transactions and changes. In fact, they're even kind of incentivized to trade more often because that's how they make money. Wealthfront doesn't work that way. It makes it easy for anyone to get world-class long-term investment management for next to nothing, 0.25% a year, with no commissions ever and no hidden charges ever. Wealthfront is automated investing based on your particular profile, your aversion to risk, your time frame, and all of that. And it maximizes your gains in ways that, frankly, humans probably couldn't do. The financial experts behind this, Burton Malkiel, who wrote that great book, perhaps you read it, I read it, I think, years ago, A Random Walk Down Wall Street, a very good strategy that I used for years on investing, Winning the Loser's Game by Charles Ellis. That's part of the Wealthfront investment team. More than 200 years of investment experience, 16 investment books between them. These guys have set up the program to make sure you make the most money. And they do things that'd be very hard to do, like tax loss harvesting and direct indexing. The trading is very sophisticated. In fact, you can find out what portfolio you'd have if you just go to wealthfront.com/windows. Wealthfront.com/windows, and you'll get a free personalized investment portfolio. It'll help you understand exactly what they do. Plus, you get this great dashboard on your computer, on your mobile, that'll tell you what's going on. It's completely transparent. You'll know every trade they make on your behalf. And you can open multiple accounts. You can have a joint account, a personal account. You can have a retirement account, whatever, you know, our house fund. It's so affordable and it's so successful. They've grown over 20 times in the past 2 years, 2,000% in the past 2 years, and now have $2.6 billion in assets under investment. It's a really brilliant idea. And I want you to check it out. Wealthfront.com/windows. Wealthfront.com /windows. Get your free portfolio. And by the way, minimum investment, $500. They've lowered that. It's, you know, so you can just, dip your toe in the water if you wish. And because you're listening to Windows Weekly, if you sign up to invest, they'll manage up to your first $15,000 entirely free of charge forever. So not even a quarter of 1%. Free forever. For compliance purposes, I have to tell you, Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure. Claim your offer today, Wealthfront.com/windows. Windows Weekly on the air, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We'll kick things off in the back of the book with Mr. P.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Paul. What's your
pick? So, as you know,
yes,
there has been a lot of new living room set-top boxes announced this fall.
I've heard that.
Apple TV announced, or Apple announced a new Apple TV. Amazon announced a new Fire TV that does 4K video. And then Roku announced a 4K version of their box, Roku 4, that does 60 frames a second.
Yay.
4K.
Yay.
And on the Microsoft side, we have nothing. Well, we don't have much. So I'm hoping that Microsoft will release apps for its Groove and movies and TV services for all of these devices, right? I mean, they're all open to the point where they should be able to do this. And Microsoft already makes iOS and Android apps. I mean, why wouldn't they do that? But in lieu of that, I took a look at, you know, how would you enjoy Groove Music or movies and TV, which is the Microsoft service, content in the living room? And unfortunately, there's no optimal answer to this. You know, obviously you could use an Xbox 360 and Xbox One, both work. They're fairly expensive. The Xbox 360 is still fairly loud. You know, you'd need to buy a remote control unless you want to use the controller, that kind of thing. You could use a Windows PC. You could use HDMI cable. That always works, by the way. But, you know, a laptop in the living room with an HDMI cable isn't exactly elegant. You could use a wireless display adapter from Microsoft, a Miracast adapter. But that's just like dumb HDMI, you know. You could use Sonos for Groove at least. I haven't tested this, but it occurred to me after writing this article, I suppose you could use a Chrome web browser on your PC and then use that with Chromecast to get the web-based versions of these services onto a TV. I should actually test that. That's kind of an interesting idea. And if you have a Windows phone, you can use Miracast as well. But I feel kind of bad that there's no like awesome, you know, set like an Xbox, like a set-top box that was like $100 that was just for this purpose. But there isn't. And I, you know, as I wrote in the article that accompanies this idea, I'd really kind of secretly hoped that they were going to announce such a thing at this hardware, the devices show they just had, but there was nothing. So right now you can do it. It's just that you don't really have any great choices for doing so. So you can make it work, but it's just not great.
Is it because they're all in on the Xbox One and they're just, what they only will do with that.
You know, given their push on mobile, I would be shocked if we didn't see Groove and movie and TV apps for Apple TV and for whatever Android TV options are available.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But there's no reason for them not to be on Roku either. I mean, even Google, I think it's called Google Play Video, was on Roku. I'm really surprised Microsoft isn't anywhere except Xbox. Hmm.
Well, someday. They had a, there was a rumored Microsoft set-top box for years, right? And then project just kind of died. I forget the code name of that. I'm looking for it.
It was one of them was UConn, and I don't remember which one was Xbox One.
And
it was Xbox
One in this. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Stingray.
There was a whole bunch. Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. There was one. Arapa.
Brad tells me they're still working on one, and that one might appear next holiday season. But you know that's nice for future, Paul. But for today, I don't know. Yeah. You know, there's just no great way to do it. And it kind of stinks because I have content in both these services. I'd love to be able to play Groove music. You know, I have the subscription like you do, you know, play it through the home stereo. But right now I can walk up with a wire, you know, and plug it in. It's basically it. It's not very elegant.
Yeah.
No, it's too bad.
Yeah.
And then the software pick is kind of on the same theme. You know, Groove Music, which I believe Mary Jo and I both use. I do, but I think Mary Jo does.
I do.
Is a decent service. It obviously works on all the Microsoft platforms, you know, Windows 10. It works on Android and iOS and all that. But as competing services have improved, you know, Spotify is obviously a very high quality service. Apple Music is adding this notion of, you know, radio stations that are curated and curated playlists and all that stuff. Groove is not, you know, is really starting from kind of three steps back, and they're missing some core features that I think are now just kind of standard in other music services. And so this week they announced a step towards erasing those gaps, and they have a partnership with iHeartMusic, which they describe as the first of many partnerships where they've semi-integrated iHeartMusic into Groove. And what that means is if you look at an artist in the Groove app on Windows 10, you should see, I've not actually yet seen this, but you should see a link to a radio, an iHeartMusic radio station, not to be confused with the Groove radio station. And what that will do is give you kind of that radio station capability. It's outside of the app. You actually have to have the iHeartMusic app installed, but it's kind of an interesting integration point, and it suggests that they're really open to this kind of thing. I don't know if we, I think we did talk about this. In fact, I think it was a tip, but sometime in the past month, they announced a partnership with Disney where you can get, you know, the Disney videos from other services into Groove, into movies and TV, as you can on iTunes and on Google Play, and I think on Amazon as well. And that's kind of a cool thing, because if you bought a Disney movie on another service, you can now access it through Microsoft service. And this partnership here seems to work in a very similar fashion, except that it's not right in the app, which is too bad. So hopefully we'll see more of this. I don't really think this puts, don't get me wrong, this doesn't really put Groove on an even footing with Apple Music or Spotify, but it's a step in that direction. And it really is a feature that just was missing, or is still missing, I guess I should say, from Groove directly. So something to check out if you are a Groove user.
Just got word from Ina Fried writing at Recode that tomorrow Intel, Microsoft, HP, Dell, and Lenovo will begin a big PC advertising push.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the campaign, yep. You ready?
It is.
PC does what?
What? You can tune in, too. There, if you look at the OEM at Microsoft Twitter account, they've got a whole link to a URL for the live stream. It's 11:30 a.m. Pacific tomorrow.
Wait a minute. They're going to announce an ad campaign with an event?
It just says for a special announcement.
Yeah, that's funny. Mm-hmm. Let's go watch the event so we can see the ads.
It's just like an Apple event.
Well, I guess you're right. Isn't that what every event is? Yeah. Come to think of it.
Well, I mean, they literally show ads, you know.
Yeah.
Here's an up-and-coming ad we made for this product. Mm-hmm. Do you want to see it?
PC does what?
Yeah, that's...
That's horrible. Geez. I'm sorry. Thanks. That's horrible. PC does what?
You know, they're having Pitbull appear at their New York store opening on the 26th.
I'll be there, you guys.
They're trying to be
I've asked my 13-year-old daughter if Pitbull was...
relevant,
cool with the kids, and she laughed and walked away.
PC
and this is the kind of thing Microsoft never gets right. The
coolness.
That's
the problem. Yeah, they're trying to be cool.
Yeah, they so desperately want to be cool, and I get it. I get it. They're not.
This woman looks like a mid-level bookkeeper in the finance department.
Right, but she's wearing. But hold on, she has fun sunglasses on.
But she has fun sunglasses, and so clearly she's hip.
She's wacky.
And I know my 23-year-old kids are just going to look at that and say, I need a Windows device right now. PC does what? Oh, no, you didn't.
It's like a tagline from a 90s sitcom.
Oh, yes, it did. You know, it's like, dynamite. Right,
literally the basis for an entire George Lopez show. Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Yep.
PC does what?
Yeah.
Sorry. Mary Jo Foley, Enterprise Pick of the Week. Ignite does what?
Yeah, that would be a good headline for that one. So Ignite, Microsoft's show for IT pros, was supposed to be held next year in May in Chicago. This year we were in Chicago also. It was great. Well, today Microsoft announced that it's not going to be in May and it's not going to be in Chicago. It's going to be in September.
Wait, what?
In Atlanta.
Oh, I heard. Are you serious? September?
Yes. September 26th to 30th in Atlanta. And it looks from Microsoft's blog post about this, that they're trying to space their shows so that they have 4 points in the year when they can have announcements. Build is in the spring. Convergence, which is their business show, is April. Their partner show is July. And now Ignite is in September. I saw some people speculating this could be because Microsoft's server is delayed or System Center is delayed. But all I can say is Ignite is not really a news-driven show, just like Tech Ed did not used to be.
Well, you do want to hit the back-to-school market.
Yeah, that's too late. September's too late.
I love that you just accepted that on Facebook.
Well,
remember this past year, Build and Ignite were right on top of each other. It was terrible.
Right. It was so terrible.
This kind of solves that problem, I guess.
It does. Right. So if you had already booked your hotel for Chicago and were planning to go back, sadly, we are not going back. Instead, we're going to Atlanta.
Well, maybe I won't get yelled at by a cab driver this year.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay. Yeah, so that's my pick. Just so all you IT folks know who attended Ignite or wanted to, now we're a totally different time, totally different place.
Interesting.
And code names. I like these two.
Yeah, two code names for the price of one. Surface Pro 4's code name, we have determined, was Peregrine. You know Peregrine, the Falcon?
The Falcon, yeah.
Although we aren't exactly sure why it's the Falcon. It could be other definitions of Peregrine. I guess they're you can use Peregrine as an adjective, meaning wandering or traveling or even foreign. But I think it's the Falcon. And the reason I think it's the Falcon is...
Oh, like peregrinations, yeah.
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 Yeah. But I think it's the Falcon because the code name for Surface Book was Hera, the Greek goddess. And one of Hera's consorts is a peacock. And if you've seen any of the Microsoft photos of the Surface Book, if you look at them, they all have peacocks on the photos, which is very interesting. So maybe it was meant to be Falcon and Peacock. But it ended up Peregrine and Hera. I'm just guessing here, people. But those are the code names.
I think they should put this on the book.
Yeah.
Jeez.
By the way, her other consort looks to be a scorpion.
And also a cow and a lion.
And a cow and a lion. She hung out with a lot of different
She had a lot of animal friends.
Yeah.
I think she had work done.
She does look like...
You know, Hera's like the mother of all the gods,
she
right?
She might have had maybe, I don't know, a little augmentation. I don't know.
Maybe.
What the hell picture is this? I don't know.
Yeah, two code names for the price of one this week. Peregrine and Hera.
This is from the Greek goddesses wiki.
Of course it is.
Hera saying, what? Jeez. By the way, they're spelling what wrong. It's W-U-T, guys. If you're going to do
what?
It.
What?
Do it right. What? All right. I think it's time for a beer. I don't know about you.
Me too. I agree.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
It's time for a beer pick from London for a change. Oh, Paul thought I was in London today, but I am not.
I'm still not positive you're not in London. Continue.
But my beer pick is from Hammerton Brewery in London, and the beer pick is called Baron H. And what this is, it sounds weird, but it really was good. Black IPA brewed with Earl Grey tea.
Oh.
And so you might... No, you know what it does? So black IPA sometimes can be very overly piney, I feel like. But the Earl Grey kind of gives it a floral.
Little bergamot. A little touch of bergamot.
Yeah. Exactly. So it really.
Have I provided you with my hometown black IPA, black hops?
Do you like that? No, you don't like that one.
I do.
You do. My friend Stephen Brown, who was visiting this week from London, brought me this beer in his suitcase. So I got to taste it right from London, right off the plane. It was very good. So if you're in London or you can get your hands on Baron H and you like black IPAs, I would recommend it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to be productive like a boss and say what?
Yeah, maybe Brian Roper will be on tomorrow.
He seems like the kind of guy that would say.
He does.
Windows 10
yeah,
say
he does.
What?
Yes, he does.
Maybe he'll be the star of this new ad campaign.
Maybe.
He's productive like a boss. Our show today has come to a close, my friends, but you know what? We'll be back each and every week at this time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Wednesdays, that's 1800 UTC. That's what I should get for doing math and talking at the same time. 1800 UTC or 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can join us live, twit.tv/live. You can also get on-demand audio and video of the show after the fact at our website, twit.tv/WW on YouTube, youtube.com/WindowsWeekly, or subscribe in Groove or whatever podcatcher you like to use. That way you'll get a new edition each and every week. It's not next week. It's 2 weeks that you're going to be in Vegas. And we just didn't get the information soon enough from Mr. Campbell, unfortunately. So I think I will not be going down there.
Oh, no.
But we'll Skype you up here. I'll be here and you'll be down there. I apologize. part of it is the timing, and it just didn't work out. So I apologize. But you'll still be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we'll look forward to that. That's from IT. What is it? IT Interact? IT. Say what?
IT Dev Intersections.
IT Dev Intersection. Thank you. And I'm sure you'll still have a giant studio audience. They're there to see you anyway, not me. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.